using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's the 14th of October, year of our Lord 2021, day 577 of America held hostage to this vaccine plot that was hatched in the U.S. but is now going around the world. Right, today we're going to talk about the massive misery and unemployment, what is happening in Italy, what is happening around the world as it is happening in America. We're going to talk about your best bet of getting out of this, and we're going to talk about the back and forth over data, the fight over data. We've seen all of this before. And we're going to talk about the armed robotic dogs that are coming your way, even as we have autonomous cars taking wrong turns and accumulating at the end of a dead end. Well, this is a dead end for society if we allow this to continue. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Again today with the headline news, we have an interesting situation has been revealed after quite some time after it happened, actually. The U.S. Air Force revealed for the first time this week that they nearly had one of their planes hijacked out of Afghanistan. Who would imagine that? I mean, these harmless people that have been so thoroughly vetted by the U.S. government before putting them on a plane? No, it couldn't happen, right? We haven't brought back any terrorists, I'm sure, in the tens of thousands. I don't even know what the number is at this point. Tens of thousands of people that we've just brought in. We have no idea who they are. We've got no information on them. Oh, but they're going to know everything about you. What's your vaccine status? And on, right? But we're bringing in these people. And they had five people that were already on board an Air Force plane just before it took off. They got some information. They said one occasion they received an intel tip that five people already on board one of the commercial flights intended to hijack the aircraft. Our team worked to get them clear of the NATO ramp, relocated to the north side away from friendly forces, and then ultimately went to the south side where the situation was handled. So they said the chaos extended outside the gate where many of the same veterans groups now working with the State Department and the Department of Defense had scrambled to charter flights and in some cases flown to Afghanistan themselves to rescue commandos, interpreters, Afghan staff who had helped with their deployment. But nothing to worry about, right? Everybody's been vetted and they have been tested and double vaxxed for vaccines, you know, tested for the virus and double vaxxed and so forth. No, actually, they didn't vax them. They gave them ivermectin. They said, well, it's because we have this river parasite or whatever the excuse was in Afghanistan. It's not because we're, you know, trying to help them while we take your job and everything else. But, you know, I'm sure that with everybody that Biden is mandating be fired, they'll have more than enough Afghans to put into people's jobs, right? Send them to New York first and then to California, I guess. Biden plans to allow some Afghan civil servants. See, that's right there. Fire the people who are the American civil servants if they don't get vaxxed, and you can replace them with Afghan civil servants who work for the Taliban. And they have exempted them from any restrictions on bringing in terrorists or people who are tied to terrorism. No problem at all, right? We have in San Francisco, where Google is using the streets, the public streets, to do their tests. You know, why not? Why not allow a corporation to conduct tests on the public without their consent? I mean, you know, we do it with Google for the self-driving cars. We can do it for the pharmaceutical companies with their vaccines. So, yeah, they've got automated, as they say, Waymo cars, And USA Today reports that they've reportedly been flowing into a dead end into the city's Richmond district. They said it disrupts routes for passengers. It forces them to turn the car around themselves. Oh. So I guess they have to manually turn these things around. Are they not able to do U-turns when they get into a dead end? They said there are some days where it can be up to 50 of these routed into this particular dead-end street. Now, how is this happening? Because, you know, we were told by Google and we're told by Elon Musk and all these people who are working on the autonomous cars. Well, you know, these things are so much better than humans and so much safer. And you have to understand that it has like a hive mind. And so as one of these cars experiences something, it learns from it. And then that knowledge is passed on to all the other cars just like that, simultaneously. I guess that's why we see the Tesla cars repeatedly crashing into the back of police cars over and over again. They don't seem to be learning anything, do they? And evidently, the Google cars, the Waymo cars, aren't learning from this experience either, because this is happening on a daily basis, about 50 of them a day. So there's 49 of them didn't learn the lesson today, and then all 50 didn't learn the lesson tomorrow and the next day. This person, Jennifer King, told KPIX, it literally happens every 5 minutes. And we're all working from home, so this is what we're hearing all day. It's been going on for 6-8 weeks, maybe more, Andrea Levin told KPIX. The cars use what Waymo calls LIDAR sensors. it's not what Waymo calls them. LIDAR sensors have been around for a long time. Everybody's using them except for Tesla. They use a visual system. LIDAR is a kind of radar, anyway, which gives the vehicle a picture of its surroundings. So when it counters something like a dead end, these tools would presumably command the vehicle to stop. As for what's drawing the cars to the dead end in the first place, that's still not fully clear. Waymo told KPIX they're looking into it. Yeah, they're fixing to do something about it. So we can laugh about that. But you know that the plan is to shut down all transportation. The plan is to make sure that you don't own a car, that you don't lease a car, that you rent the car by the ride, and to make it very expensive. And if you do own a car, if you're one of the elites or the second-tier elites who can afford to own a car, you will pay dearly for it by the mile to the government. But don't worry, because it'll all be safe. It'll be 100% safe, just like the vaccines. They will know everything that's happening. There will be no more deaths. As a matter of fact, when we look at the narratives that these globalists sell us, it's always about zero, right? We're going to have zero carbon use. We're going to have zero COVID. We're going to have COVID zero. COVID is going to be eradicated like smallpox. Just everybody take the vaccine. And they also talk about how they have vision zero. If you look at the urban areas like Austin that are marching in lockstep to this dystopia, you will see that many of them have adopted the aspect of the UN 2030 agenda called Vision Zero. And what that means is that you have zero traffic deaths. Well, that means that you have zero cars, because nothing is perfect. As one person talking about the COVID and the whole fallacy of zero COVID, of zero COVID deaths, of zero COVID cases, of zero COVID infections, or whatever they want to call it, whatever they're labeling. And again, who knows what this is? Because the FDA said, when they were talking about getting rid of the tests and replacing them this December with some new tests, they said, we've got 59 different tests and we can't compare them to each other because they're all testing for something different. They're not even testing for the same thing. Who knows what they're testing for? Have they isolated it? Well, no. What they did was they said, well, we came up with some partial mRNA, some full mRNA. We synthesized some mRNA. Every one of these 59 tests is testing for something different. And by the way, they're amplifying it by a cycle of 40 thresholds. It's what they've typically been doing. They brought it down now for the vaccinated to try to make the vaccine look better. But they're still doing 40 cycles, which is a factor of just over a trillion magnifications, like 1.1 trillion if you take it out. What the cycle threshold of 40 means is that they double it, then they double again. So that would be a cycle threshold of 2, which means that it's 4 times bigger. They keep doing that 40 times. That's 1.1 trillion. So They're still magnifying it, but they're not even looking for the same thing. They don't even have a standard that they're comparing against. But they want to have zero COVID. They want to have zero deaths. They want to have zero energy usage, and they want to have zero population growth. As a matter of fact, they want to have zero population. So what could possibly go wrong when you take these robot dogs that you've seen from Boston Dynamics? You've seen them over and over again. Another company called Ghost Robotics is now putting assault rifles on their backs. We all knew that was going to be happening for the longest time. First time I saw one of these biped robots that they had, and it had a couple of arms that were sticking out, and they didn't have any kind of hands or even pincers on the end of it to grasp anything. They were just pipes. And I said, well, you understand what's going to be in there. And they're not going to put hands on there. They're not going to put, they may in some industrial uses, but I said, you look at those pipes there. Just imagine them being guns. That's where we're going with this. And this is where they are, primitively. Ghost Robotics and Sword International have teamed up to create a rifle-toting robot dog. They call it Special Purpose Unmanned Rifle, or SPUR. That's what they call it. It has a 6.5-millimeter Creedmoor rifle from Sword. That they've added to one of Ghost Robotics' quadruped unmanned ground vehicles. That's what they call it. They're robo-dogs. They call them quadrupedal unmanned ground vehicles, which comes up with an acronym that surprisingly is not pronounceable. So they must, they've got to go back to the drawing board and come up with something that is more pronounceable. Anyway, they said that the spur gun is capable of precision fire out to 1,200 meters. That's pretty good, precision fire. When our robots move around and you shove them, these forces are computed at 2,000 calculations per second per leg. So we're adjusting it to make it like a mammal. And when you see it climbing stairs or walking or running around, we turn off all the sensors. It's just feeling, and it's completely blind. The reason we do that is because if a warfighter or maybe a mining company, or, you're helping grandma go across the road or something. Oh, but especially if it's a warfighter, hint, hint. Using our robot, this robot, it better operate 99.99% of the time. That's what they're planning. And, oh, by the way, when you look at the officers that are resigning, a couple of them have resigned and spoken out and said in Australia, said, we just don't want to see the police being used like this. As I pointed out yesterday, I said on Monday when we were discussing the executive orders, I said, you understand if you're paid by the government, they can just turn off your paycheck. And we're going to get into that here in a moment with the mandated Trump shots. And so, from that standpoint, for the military, they just, that's it. We're not going to, you're working for us or the federal contractors or the federal employees. But as one person who was retired military said, yeah, but, you don't sign up to obey everything that the government tells you. You sign up to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. And as many people have pointed out to me, when you look at the Code of Uniform Military Justice, or I think that's the name that is, but there's a section there that talks about disobeying unlawful orders and the fact that you have a duty to disobey unlawful orders. And guess what? When the person gives you the orders, they believe that they're lawful, and they believe that they should be followed. That's always going to be the case, right? Well, I gave you the order, and you're supposed to follow it, and what's wrong with that? And you have to look, you have to exercise your judgment and say, I'm not going to follow an unconstitutional order. And that's one of the issues coming up with this Biden mandate for the military. It's different. It's different for the military, and it's different for the police, should be, different for all of them. It should be different for them than just a federal employee who's working as a bureaucrat. They're not in a position where they're there to defend the Constitution. That is explicitly the responsibility of those people who have the use of force, the purpose being to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. So, the people who are bureaucrats, they're supposed to obey the Constitution. And they should become whistleblowers if the government is disobeying the law, disobeying the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. But they would take it to somebody else to defend it. Now, the military and the police and the sheriffs, They not only have taken an oath to obey the Constitution, but they are there as agents to protect the Constitution from these enemies. Oh, I don't know, some senile president who's being led around the White House by strangers and told to read things off of teleprompters and not given ice cream. So, you know, somebody like that. If you want to know the total spectrum of where these people want to go, the FDA wants to take your salt away, says Reason Magazine. And you, if you're looking through a lot of mainstream media as I am, you start to see themes that are coming up. It is something of an echo chamber. I remember the first time everybody pointed this out decades ago. You had someone use the term gravitas, and all of a sudden it was like an echo chamber, and everybody's using the term gravitas, which nobody had used before. Oh, this politician has gravitas, blah, blah, blah. It is an echo chamber, and they do feed off of each other, but they also do take a feed from the government. It's what the government wants them to push at any given time. And so there's a lot of articles talking about the evils of salt, and salt and bliss, and salt that, and the FDA talking about salt. Some of that is just copycat journalism. But some of that is really an agenda. And the FDA is kind of behind that. The FDA has issued voluntary guidance that aims to limit the amount of sodium that restaurants and grocery manufacturers put in foods that you buy, so you won't consume more than 3 milligrams per day. I'm sorry, 3,000 milligrams per day, which is 3 grams per day. So this is something that they've put rules out. But how are they going to total this up? I mean, they still don't have any control. They can tell restaurants, they can tell the big box grocery manufacturers to try to reduce sodium. But they want it to taste good, so they keep adding more and more sodium in it, just like they keep adding more and more sugar. And so how do they ultimately enforce this? Well, remember, it was just maybe about 3 weeks ago, I was talking about how MasterCard was working with the United Nations, and they were going to come up as they go to digital cash and to other things. They will start measuring the carbon footprint of all of your purchases, including your food. And you could get up to the counter to check out, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, you've already bought your equivalent of carbon, so you can't buy any more carbon things anymore. And, of course, carbon is talking about carbon dioxide or just energy use in their fantasy imagination, the way that they label it. And it's just as close to reality as all these cases and statistics that Fauci has been giving us. But they've already talked about how they're going to limit your carbon intake and your purchases, and they can do it through the stuff that you buy. We've also had Amazon talking about how they're going to monitor with their refrigerators. They're spending a lot of money, tens of millions of dollars, to have refrigerators that are going to monitor what you eat. Well, of course, that's so that they can get new resupplies to you, and that'll be a part of it. But they can also turn that information over to the government and the salt police or the sugar police. That's going to be a thing. I'm telling you, it's going to be a thing. And you'll have an app that can track what you eat. They can track your carbon consumption, your salt consumption, your sugar consumption, your energy consumption, all of this. It is going to be a total surveillance society. Everything that they come up with is about surveillance. Everything. And control. And so, as a result, we have de Blasio kicking out a statue of Thomas Jefferson from City Hall. I think we should keep Thomas Jefferson, and we should get rid of the Castro communist de Blasio. What is the matter with the people of New York? What is their problem? I just don't understand it. And finally, as we look at these very advanced weapons that they're coming up with, robot dogs that will unquestionably obey all the orders. See, that's why they want to reduce the military. They want to make sure that they've got people on board that are going to do whatever Biden says. People who will not defend the Constitution. People who do not have any sincerely held religious beliefs, and people who are basically going to act as robots. And they will replace, gradually find other ways to get rid of the people that are there so that they only do have robots. And of course, I would imagine with long-term health effects of these vaccines, you probably will start to see people taking early retirement who got the shots, as the other people who did not get the shots are pushed out. And then we'll have a shortage. What do we do about this? I don't know. I mean, something's going around. It must be another virus that came out of another laboratory in China. And it's not the vaccine that we gave everybody. No, no, it's something else. It's like the Omega variant or something. So we're going to, or everybody's dying, getting sick, getting paralyzed. We're going to have to isolate everybody. We really need to have robots because we don't want to have any humans coming in contact with each other. We've had a lot of people who've had to drop out. That's where they're headed with this. So even though the robot has all these sophisticated capabilities and everything, there will always be a vulnerability. And I think, you know, when we look at the asymmetry of this high-tech surveillance enslavement system, and you look at the types of things that they want to do in terms of limiting our ability to have weapons to protect ourselves, because that's a threat to them. These same people now who are demanding that we get vaccinated, same people who have as a goal the kinds of FEMA camps that I talked about a couple of months ago being built in Australia. That's a thing. It's getting to continue to push it all the time. And now you've got a second wave of media talking about these long-term camps that are being built in Australia. We know what they're for, to quarantine people. It's for the unvaccinated. If we don't stop this thing now at the unemployment stage, after they kick out the people in law enforcement and the military who have a conscience, who have religious beliefs, they'll be able to use the remaining people to lock up those of us who are unvaccinated in these camps if we don't stop this thing. And this is one of the reasons why you had Eric Swalwell, Beto O'Rourke, Biden himself, talking about how we can take your guns. We can use the military against you to take your guns. They're going to have to use the military against us to take our guns so they can put us into the FEMA camps. And this is where this is all headed. And yet, when we look at places where they've disarmed the population, this tragic story in Norway, somebody with a bow and arrow killed five people and injured two more in Norway. They think they've got a suspect. As of time, this particular time, there's no information as to who that might be. But there is always a vulnerability in the system. And there are always weapons. You know, when we look at the Warsaw Uprising, the Jews that were in the Warsaw Ghetto had no firearms. But somebody found a hammer. They got one pistol. They used a pistol to get other pistols and so forth. There's always going to be the key ingredient here is a human will, the desire for freedom, and the willingness to defend it. Defend it against aggression. Do not be the aggressor, but don't shy away from defending it. Facebook is going to change the rules on attacking public figures on its platforms. They say they will now count activists and journalists as involuntary public figures and so increase protections against harassment and bullying. Oh, well, that's nice. Does that mean that Facebook will not bully me? I mean, can I get back my account? Not that I really want it on Facebook. But I've been bullied as a journalist by Facebook for years. I don't think they're going to give me my account back, though. We're going to talk about mandated shots when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
Before we get into the mandated shots, let's take a look real quickly at what is happening around the world with the mandates and the mass dictated unemployment. I got this email from a listener who said, I'm in Italy. People are losing jobs right and left. I traveled to Spain. In order to travel, you must get the COVID test, but you also must fill out a form. The EU Digital COVID Locator, which is very difficult to fill out, very long, almost impossible to figure out. In Romania, on the other hand, unvaccinated people are not allowed out of the house after 8 p.m. What are they worried about in Romania? Are they worried about a vampire virus? Is that what is the magic thing about being out at night in the dark? Well, because it's about surveillance, right? It doesn't have anything to do with the virus. They don't want people out at night because it's harder for them to see people. This is all about a constant surveillance state, in my opinion. But it has absolutely no medical reason. There's no reason why they would limit you at night. Anyway, you got to be able to provide a valid reason, or otherwise the vampires in uniforms will come around and grab you. I was on the phone with my friend when the police stopped her and asked for the vaccine proof. I may not be able to get back to New York. In Spain, they're talking about allowing people to fly inside the country without a COVID pass. This is sad news from Europe. She also said a couple months ago, she had sent me a thing, said the reason they want transgenders is because they're afraid of men with high levels of testosterone who would fight to the death for our freedom. Where is that? Whatever happened to our society, right? I just cannot imagine the people of my parents' generation even, but certainly not the America of 19th century or the 18th century. I can't imagine them putting up with any of this stuff. I mean, they fought the most powerful empire on earth over a 3% tax on tea because they understood the principle involved. They could have easily paid the 3%. They could have looked at this and said, well, you know, I could pay the 3%. Or I could get involved in a situation where I could lose my life. And they were very brutal at that particular time when you were an enemy of the crown. You know, go back and you look at the types of things that they would do to people. Prison conditions were very, very harsh on these prison ships as they got American prisoners here in the United States. Much worse than what we're seeing even with the January the 6th prisoners, I believe. Although I don't know everything, the truth hasn't come out about what is happening to the prisoners January 6th. I'm not putting any of this on a scale. All of it is an abomination to torture prisoners, to deny them due process. But you go back and you look at William Wallace, what did they do to him? Well, they drew him and quartered him. What does that mean? Well, they stretched him out and they cut off every arm and every leg and they cut out organs and they shipped them out to different parts of, that's what they would typically do to people. Say, you know, here's a part of your hero. Do you want to challenge us again, right? And, you know, now we've got a government that cuts up babies and tells you to take the vaccines that they developed from that. So you don't want to challenge us about that, do you? And we say, well, no, we'll just take the vaccine. Because, you know, I've got a job. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to be kept from flying on planes. You know, we're so spoiled. The people on the 1776, they didn't have any plane flight privileges. They had to worry about that. They were independent. And so she said, yeah, reason we're slaves is a lack of testosterone and our men who should be out in the streets fighting to take our freedom back. Well, let's just make sure that we do it without falling into a trap that they want. There's many ways to resist. And until violence starts, let it not begin with us. And let's use everything at our disposal. Because, you know, quite frankly, if we're not willing to stand up to these people and take our kids away from them and start to create our own businesses and other things like that, even if we got our freedom, we wouldn't know what to do with it. We better start getting our own lives together, resisting this, opting out of it, not being a part of it. If we have that integrity, then if they attack, we will have the backbone and the independence to fight back against them. We better start learning how to be independent of this. So in Italy, as the as Yahoo and the international press are reporting it. They say Italy will require all workers to show a coronavirus health pass beginning this Friday. One of the world's toughest anti-COVID regimes being run by Mario Draghi, the banker, technocrat that they brought in a few years ago. And he replaced elected officials. But I read to you the other day how the five-star and, you know, the various, the league and all these different Italian parties that were left-wing and right-wing populists, and they were going to stand against the technocrats and so forth and the EU people. All of them, Salvini, all the rest of them, they're pushing the vaccine. They're all pushing the vaccine. They all want this. And that's why they're going to do it to all workers. About 2.5 million of the country's 23 million workers, 10%, 10% are unvaccinated. And as of Friday, they're going to be fired. Just like that. Now, what do you think that's going to do? Right? You fire 10% of the people just like that because they won't take an experimental genetic injection from Trump where he skipped the testing. They don't want to do that, so you're just going to fire them. And the president of a heavy industrialized northern Veneto region said, you have no idea the chaos that we're going to have in companies. We're not going to be able to keep the companies going. So you're going to throw the supply chain and the production chain into chaos. You're going to kick 10% of the people out of being able to earn a living, just like that. Like Gerald Celente said, you know, when people lose everything, they lose it. These people know that 10% of the population is going to be losing everything. They're going to war with their own people. There's absolutely no reason to do any of this. There is no justification for any of this, but it fits their plan that they've had for a very long time. They want to destroy the supply lanes. They want to create chaos. They want to create unrest. They want to create dependency, surveillance, a global ID. These are their agendas, and they will do anything to us. We better stop this. Green Pass will allow a certificate of recovery. So they will recognize natural immunity, which the U.S. government does not want to recognize, if they contracted the virus within the previous 6 months, they said. If they instead opt to qualify through testing to get the Green Pass, they will have to pay for the tests at their own expense, and they'll have to do it every 48 hours. And, you know, they got those little swabs, they got the spikes that come off, and they stay in your, you know, in your nose, like you've seen them rub it across the meat. I've shown that to you. So you have to do that every 48 hours. How about that? We're going to get you one way or the other. We're either going to put whatever this stuff is on the end of these swabs into your nose every 48 hours, or you're going to let us inject something that's going to modify your mRNA, modify your DNA, create a protein spike that's going to attack your blood system and your organs. One way or the other, they're going to come after us, right? If they instead, it said they don't even have enough testing capacity, they point out. That's kind of like the pandemic itself, where they didn't have the tests, remember? They said, oh, well, just do a diagnostic. When they wanted to build up the idea of a pandemic, they said, we don't have enough tests. Tests don't work. So just do a clinical diagnosis and send us a number. They've done that in the past with their annual flu scare. And all of this came out. We told you that was what was happening. it was not a question about it. But it was verified by the American Hospital Association in August of last year when they started telling the hospitals, the Medicare people, CMS, they pay the Medi- and that's the edge that they have on these hospitals to force the hospitals to fire the nurses. Medicare and Medicaid. And so Medicare and Medicaid told them in August of last year, we're not going to pay unless you can show us the PCR test. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You told us you were going to pay a bonus, 20 to 25%, if we had, you told us you didn't have the test, you told us to do a clinical diagnosis, and you told us you'd pay the bonus, and now you're not paying us the bonus because we did the clinical diagnosis, like you said. They wanted cases, right? But now, they don't have the tests. Still don't have the tests. The entrepreneurs I talked to are very worried, said one individual. Said it's going to just, we're not going to have enough people to operate our businesses. You know, 10% of the people are going to be gone. We don't know how that's going to affect us and any individual business. It could be less or it could be more than 10%. Anyone caught in the workplace without a green pass risks fines ranging from 600 to 1,500 euros. That's why I said, you know, Abbott's thing of, $1,000 to a company, that's nothing. Of course, the companies are going to ignore him. He's not serious about anything. Employers can be fined 400 to 1,000 euros for not checking their staff complying with the rules each time. Mario Draghi opted for compulsory COVID passes last month. Now, you know, Biden is really serious about this. He's got much higher fines. And they're going to get much higher if they pass these bills. Like I pointed out, when they start out at $14,000, they're going to go all the way up to $70,000 and eventually to $700,000 fines to put people down. And these people are, you know, Abbott is talking about a $1,000 fine. So the Prime Minister, Mario Draghi, Super Mario as they called him, the banker who they pushed the elected representatives out in Italy just like they did in Greece, he said compulsory COVID passes they brought in were last month by Mario Draghi. They said at first they were calling for a blanket rule that would force all Italians to get jabbed. And they said, well, that'll be nice because that way we won't have apartheid. We won't be discriminating against people who are unvaccinated because everybody will be vaccinated. See, that's a solution. Can you believe this? Yeah, we don't want to discriminate against one person or another, so we're going to force everybody to get vaccinated. So then the Associated Press, as they point out, as they report on what's going on in Italy and the violence and the fighting in the streets, as people are seeing that more than 10% of the country is going to be kicked out of their jobs for not getting the Trump experimental vaccine. The headline from AP, the Associated Propagandist, says this: neo-fascists are exploiting the rage of the no-vax people, the no-vax rage, posing a dilemma for Italy. Oh, really? So if you get angry about this, Associated Propagandist, AP, calls you a neo-fascist. Because to Marxists, like AP, everything else is fascism. They call everybody fascism. Everybody. And they're Antifa. You know, AP is Antifa. An extreme right party's violent exploitation of anger. Well, you know what? How do you stop this? Why are you pushing people? If this were true, if everybody that opposes this are fascists, neo-fascists, if you oppose a government forcing you to take an injection or lose your ability to travel, to go to school, to work, if you oppose that, you are the fascist, not that government, right? According to the Associated Press, you are the fascist. And you're angry. These people are angry. Well, here's a solution. You don't have to push people into the arms of a party that you label as fascist, whether they are or not. You don't have to push them in the arms. You don't have to make them angry. You don't have to have a rebellion, a revolt. You don't have to have civil war in your country. Just drop your vaccine mandates. Oh, can't do that. We've got orders from on high. We can't stop it. There's no going back. Everybody must be vaccinated. And it doesn't matter what happens to society. Fight them in the streets, whatever. They're going to get you 100% vaccinated. And that's coming. That is their goal. They're not going to stop, folks, at kicking you out of school, kicking you out of your job. They're not going to stop there. They're going to imprison those of us who don't get vaccinated if we don't stop this. A Canadian pastor, Arthur Pulaski, who I interviewed, had a great interview with him. Go back and look it up. I let the thing run more than a half hour over time because he started talking about his personal life, his history, what happened with him, why he became a street preacher, why he gave up a very lucrative business when he started to realize what a dead end it was and what was really important in life. And it kind of all came to him as he had a child who got sick. And there was no turning back, but he has been persecuted even before all this COVID stuff started because he had some people didn't like the sin that he was pointing out on the street. You know, he hasn't had his head put on a platter like John the Baptist, but you start talking about what God's standard is. People don't like that. Even if you offer them the free gift of forgiveness through Christ, they still don't like it. And so he had already had persecution. And it's a great interview if you want to hear it. I just let him talk, and he's got a lot to say. But you saw that he went to the U.S. He had a tour where he was talking about how bad things are in Canada, the persecution. He spent the better part of July, August, and September in America on what he called his courageous faith tour, telling the crowds about his ordeals with the police and with health officials who had targeted him for their arbitrary COVID rules that he had violated. And most importantly, folks, it's not that he violated the rules. It's the fact that nothing happened to him when he violated their rules. He was a thorn in their side because he, like all the rest of these churches that met and ignored all of these regulations from Fauci and the World Health Organization and the CDCs and so forth, all these people who met on a regular basis continued to live their lives, showed what a blatant lie it was. They showed the emperor had no clothes, the emperor had no science, the emperor had no solutions. They showed that we didn't need to fear any pandemic that the emperor was telling us existed. That's why they were coming after the churches so hard. Because they were, by living their life, they were showing the truth. And the darkness hates the truth. So he had a court hearing yesterday. They're not going to give him more jail time, which is what the COVID health dictators wanted. Instead, he'll get a massive fine, $23,000. His brother, David, will get a fine of $10,000. And there was a small business owner who ran the Whistle Stop Cafe and did not kowtow to them. He will be given $30,000 in fines. But they did not, and they closed his business. So I don't know how he's going to pay that. But they will not put them in jail. Isn't that nice of them? Isn't that nice of them? Arresting him as he went home. So what is happening with supplies? What is happening with the price, with inflation, with shortages, as I pointed out yesterday? Shortages are going to be with us. Shortages are what they want. They want shortages. They want scarcity. That's their business model. That's how the businesses make money. They don't want to have competition. They don't want to have falling prices. They want to have, as they have now established their monopoly positions, they're now raising prices rapidly. And that's what they always do. I mean, this is nothing new about this. These people go in and they'll operate at a loss. I've talked about this. When we had a video business, we competed against Blockbuster Video. Competed against them for about 15 years while we had the video store. And Blockbuster Video, once they were bought from Wayne Huizenga, who had a trash business, garbage pickup. They were bought by Paramount, by Sumner Redstone, Viacom. Well, Paramount was a studio. The parent company was Viacom. Viacom owns CBS, and Viacom owned Paramount and a lot of big media properties. And Viacom was run by Sumner Redstone. After they picked up Blockbuster, they never made any money. But they were able to operate for about 30 years, getting money off of Wall Street. And they would operate at a loss. Where we were, they would target one retailer at a time. And what they would do is they would take small mom-and-pop businesses, and if somebody had three or four stores, they would, at the same time, simultaneously, they would open up stores right across, because they had unlimited amounts of money to buy an out parcel. And so you might have a business that had was successful and operating in several different shopping centers in line. And so they would buy an out parcel, and they would operate at a loss until they drove that mom-and-pop business out. And that's not what happened to us. We sold it because we became Christians, and we wanted to get out of the business. But we competed against them for about 15 years, even though they did that to us, too. We competed against them with catalog titles because that's really what we were interested in, not with the latest garbage coming out of Hollywood. But we've seen this before. What they do is they come in and they'll operate at a loss because they can't lose money if they're selling stuff on Wall Street. And they can operate for decades at a loss if they need to get rid of their competition. And then once they get a monopoly, then they will raise the prices. And so that's been the business model of Walmart, the business model of Amazon. As a matter of fact, they've just exposed documents showing what we all knew was happening. that Amazon would copy the products of successful people. So they'd sit there and watch. They're supposed to be a marketplace, but they would watch what was successful. Then they would copy it. And then they would change the search terms to favor themselves. So you're looking for this particular product instead of taking you to the one that had been selling a lot. They'll take you to their knockoff copy on Amazon. So they're predatory. So this is why the supply disruption is exactly what they want as a business. They are essential. They are monopolies. They will be favored. They will not be shut down. So Biden finally acknowledged the fact that we've got some supply issues. He admits that he's partly responsible for the supply chain chaos. No, he's 100%. Well, actually, he is partly responsible. I would say he's right. He is partly responsible. Trump shares the blame along with him, but it's coming from the government. Here's what he had to say. Here's his solution, by the way. I would call it retail therapy. He's got retail therapy for our supply chain woes.
Today, we have an important announcement that will get things you buy to you, to the shelves, faster. After weeks of negotiation and working with my team and with the major union retailers and freight movers, the Port of Los Angeles announced today that it's going to begin operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Walmart, our nation's largest retailer, is committing to go all in on moving its products 24/7 from the ports to their stores nationwide. Additionally, FedEx and UPS, two of our nation's biggest freight movers, are committing today to significantly increase the amount of goods they're moving at night. And other companies are stepping up as well. They include Target, Home Depot, and Samsung, that have all committed to ramp up their activities to utilize off-peak hours at the ports.
Well, the Home Depot, the ex-Home Depot CEO, said shipping delays are so bad it is a national emergency and the military ought to be activated. Well, you know, why would we do that, though? I mean, you know, we only use the military to deliver the Trump shots, Operation Warp Speed, right? We can deliver the vaccines with the military, remember? Oh, yeah, we'll get the military out there. But, you know, food, stuff like that, nah, can't be bothered with that. I'm not going to use the military to do that type of thing, only for vaccines. And we've got a lot of other big business partners that he listed off there. You know, we've got Target and Walmart and FedEx and UPS. These people are all going to be working around the clock to make this all work. Well, see, that's not really the problem. You know, Walmart and Target, as Reuters is pointing out, Biden enlists Target and Walmart to fix the bottlenecks threatening holiday sales. Well, first of all, they don't deliver anything. Secondly, they don't make anything. They're the end of the supply chain. That's why I called it retail therapy. You know, retail therapy is typically a joke about, you know, when somebody gets, typically a woman gets upset about something and she goes shopping, right? I'll do some retail therapy and, you know, get my mind off of what's going on. And that's really what he's talking about doing. It's retail therapy. It's the end of the supply chain. The supply chain from where? From China. He's not doing anything to help the supply chain inside America. And the reality is, as Apple is cutting iPhone Christmas production by 10 million units due to chip shortage, it's due to a chip shortage, not a ship shortage. We've got ships that are stacked up off the coast of California. Why is that happening? Because everything's coming from China. It's on the West Coast. DeSantis has said, hey, you know, we got some ports over here. You guys can bring stuff to us if you want. Well, they got to go through the Panama Canal or around the tip of South America or whatever. They're going to the West Coast because it's coming from China. That's the reality. And it's not just the stuff that's being made in China. You look at Taiwan, as I pointed out, the increase in tension between China and Taiwan, China wanting to take over Taiwan. They have a massive share. I forget what the percentage was. But it was about half, if I recall correctly, of the foundry chips, the substrate, essentially, for most of all the chips that are being made are made by a couple of companies right there in Taiwan. And we're seeing this type of thing has been done over and over again. I've talked about how years ago there was a shortage of Winchester hard drives because of regional flooding in Thailand, and everybody had moved all the Winchester hard drives to that particular area. They do this type of thing and have done this type of thing for a long time. So there's chip shortages, And there's the there is a bottleneck at the in California, and so many ships were anchored off the coast of California that one of them dropped an anchor on an oil pipeline and caused a massive spill there. That would not happen if they could just get in and get rid of their stuff. So it's creating secondary and tertiary issues. But the real issue is that they have busted this and trying to centrally plan this. You know, they've taken over the planning of the economy that began under Trump. You know, well, these businesses are essential and those others are non-essential. Which ones were essential? Well, it's the big box retailers, the people who are operating on Walmart. Who are the non-essentials? Well, for the most part, they went after industries that are populated almost exclusively service industries. They're almost exclusively middle-class entrepreneurs. From restaurants to hair salons and barber shops to other service businesses, that's really the only avenue that's left right now because of the Wall Street competition. That's the only avenue left to the middle class to be entrepreneurs and to compete. So they went after those businesses and said, you are not essential. It's always been about this. And so he's right. He's only partially responsible for this. Trump is also responsible for it equally because this is the plan to make sure that if you're not a big business, you don't have a business. But even the products that are coming from China are a problem because China's grid, which operates off of coal, can't get the coal to fire up their electrical issues. So we're having the agenda of climate change, of the pandemic, which are artificial constructs created by these globalists to shut everything down. But these two things are shutting down all aspects, critical aspects. When you have a very complicated supply system like this, all you got to do is break one thing. And these people did not design it. They don't understand it. They're coming from the mindset of a central planning Marxist that comes up with a five-year plan, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to ramp up. Let's all get together. We need more widgets manufactured. And so the Soviet committee has gotten together, and we've set a goal that we're going to have a 50% increase in widget production. Well, they have absolutely no idea how they're going to do that. These people don't even make pencils, right? The free market makes pencils. These people make plans that are never fulfilled. You never saw these five-year plans ever work out of the Soviet Union, and they're not going to work here in America either, whether it's done by Biden or whether it's done by Trump. And so as soon as he makes these remarks, he turns around and walks out, as usual. Won't take any questions about it. Just leaves. So, yeah, iPhone production is going to be cut by 10 million units because they can't get a chip shortage. Well, you know, just get FedEx and UPS on it, right? All done. Or maybe what Apple needs is Apple needs to have Walmart stay open later hours. That'll take care of the problem, right, according to Biden. Janet Yellen says there may be isolated shortages of goods and services in the coming months. Pete Buttigieg says that it could last for years and years. How about that? You got an actual Marxist like Pete Buttigieg telling you the truth, more so than a banker like Janet Yellen. Maybe Buttigieg's got a five-year plan on how this whole thing is going to shake out. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to be back, and I will get into the mandated Trump shots. And I've got a question right off the bat from a listener saying, well, you keep saying that it's a Biden bluff. I don't understand this because we're a federal contractor, and I see the executive order, and they're going to be firing us in a couple of months. So I'm going to cover that when we get back. Stay with us.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box.
Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
You know, you might even be able to hear the Rolling Stones' Brown Sugar. I don't know. They've kowtowed to the cancel mob, and they're not going to play that anymore. I mean, when you got the Rolling Stones, always known for their rebellion and their shamelessness, now they're ashamed to sing the songs they've been singing for 50, 60 years. Well, they're old guys. I don't know. Whatever's happening. But anyway, this is from a listener. Richard says, concerning Biden's mandate bluff, he said, I reluctantly held on to the Trump train until Biden's inauguration, despite you warning about him. Now I see him exactly how you see him. But having said that, I'm confused about Biden's mandate bluff, as you call it. I'm not saying that you, Joy Pullman, and or everyone else who's pointing this out are incorrect, but the way I'm reading the executive order on the Federal Register, it seems that taking the clot shot does apply to me or lose my job because my company contracts with the Department of Defense. Here is just some of what a company-wide letter sent to all employees says. As a federal contractor, this is the letter, as a federal contractor, Spirit AeroSystems supports work of the Department of Defense and other agencies, blah, et cetera, right? The executive order for federal contractors does not allow a testing option for employees, is how it ends. So can you help me and others make the connection? Maybe you already tried and I just missed it. Well, here's the connection. And I want to clarify this because if I didn't make it clear, I did talk about it, but maybe it wasn't clear. So there's essentially three different issues here. Two of the conditions have accompanying executive orders from Biden that have been listed in the Federal Registry as a rule. So they're executive orders and they've been recorded. And to the extent that we're going to be ruled by executive orders, I guess that's the situation right now. You know, you put them in the Federal Register, then it's a done deal. That's what they're saying now. And that's the way that we are going to be moving forward, I guess, you know, by executive orders and by Supreme Court decisions and things like that, by bureaucratic rules. However, and those two conditions are for direct federal employees. So if you work for the federal bureaucracy or if you are in the military as a direct federal employee, that's one executive order, and that is recorded in the Federal Register. The second one is for anybody who sells something to the federal government, federal contractors. There is a separate executive order for that, and that is recorded in the Federal Register, and that is what this listener is talking about. What I was saying in terms of Biden's mandate is mandate bluff, and that is the third condition, and that is for private companies who, you know, do not do business with the federal government. And those are the companies where he said, well, if you got more than 100 employees, even if you don't do business with the federal, if you sell stuff to the federal government's not going to buy from you anymore. And you have to make the determination, is that, would I like to just cut my arm off, cut off my right arm with the money that I'm getting from these lucrative federal contracts, so that we can have not have to make everybody get vaccinated and not fire these people? Or will I fire the people and keep my federal contract? That's the choice they give these people. But there's a lot of businesses that are left with, 100 or more employees that are private. And what he is saying, and he doesn't, and this is where the bluff is, he did not record an executive, he did a press release. This is why I say, when you look at the people who are talking about his quote-unquote mandate for private companies, 100 employees and more, that's where the mandate bluff is. Let me be clear about that. It's that third condition. And when you look at the way that it's being reported by the press, it'll say stuff like, well, Biden is set to impose a mandate, or Biden is preparing to do a mandate, or Biden is announcing that he's going to have a mandate. He's fixing to do it, but he hasn't done it. All he did was a press release and a speech, but he did not record an executive order in the Federal Register. Not only that, but he said he was going to do it. He was fixing to do it. He's set to do it. He's announcing and he's preparing to do it through OSHA. OSHA also has been completely silent on their website. They're only talking about a massive power usurpation about health that they did back in June. But they're not talking about this particular thing. And there is no rule by OSHA either in the Federal Register. So for that third condition, for private companies with 100 or more employees, there is no executive order in the Federal Register from Biden. There is nothing, no rule from OSHA either. That's why state attorneys general, who, and you've had 27 of them, say we're going to challenge this for private companies. For private companies we're talking about, not federal employees, not federal contractors, but private companies. You've had 27 state attorneys general say we're going to challenge this in court. Why haven't they filed anything? Because there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And the other part of this is that because he wants OSHA to do it, and he wants it done now, not tomorrow, whatever, he wants it done real quickly, they're going to skip the commenting period. And the commenting period is there where they are supposed to weigh and address the issues that the rules are going to have. And they have to weigh the effect of those rules. Let me tell you, if you fire 15 to 30% of the economy, you make 15 to 30% of the people be fired from a company, then that is a big impact. And you better have a discussion about that. And if you don't have a discussion about it, they've got a lot of jeopardy when it comes to a lawsuit. And I just want to say to people, whether you, whatever condition you're in, now, of course, the military is a different system because they have a military courts there. But if you are a federal employee, if you're an employee of a federal contractor, if they're going to go through this and if they're going to follow this OSHA rule whenever it comes out, presumably it's going to appear just before the December deadline, which is, what is it, December 8th or 9th or something like that. That deadline, the first or second week of December, is about the time probably they're going to file this thing so that people don't have a lot of time to look at it. December the 8th. So if they're going to fire you by December 8th, you have an opportunity to challenge them about that. But especially if you file a religious exemption, that is your strongest case. And people are writing me and telling me, hey, I got my religious exemption. I told you about a nurse who did it, and she said I helped a lot of other people do it. I can't remember the number. I think it was maybe 9 people that she helped to do it. But she said, unfortunately, there were a lot of nurses who were Christians. They had ethical concerns about this. They didn't want to take the vaccine, but they felt it was useless to try to get a religious exemption, and so they didn't do it. So I just want to say, if you work for a private company, regardless of what happens with this Biden bluff, you know, even if he records an executive order at some point between now and December 8th, even if OSHA publishes a rule between now and December 8th, or they may not, because, you know, we're in new territory here. Laws and rules and procedures and traditions don't apply anymore. They're just doing whatever they wish. And if you're going to act like a dictator, why do you have to even bother to write up a letter and, you know, stick it in the Federal Registry? Just do what I say. That's what a dictator does, right? A dictator dictates. The law is in his mouth. The law is whatever he says. And if he changes it tomorrow, it's, you know, whatever he says tomorrow, that's what the dictate is. So why bother to file an executive order? Why bother to file anything in the Federal Register? That only invites due process challenges, doesn't it? But let me tell you, your best chance here, and I'm going to spend tomorrow, I had kind of held out, there was a guy who's got a website that is set up specifically to propagandize pastors, to get their sheep to get injected, to turn them into wolves, in my opinion. And so he's got a whole bunch of stuff there about how it's your Christian duty to do this, and this is why the ethical concerns don't apply, and why you've got to love your neighbor, and all this other kind of stuff. But I wanted to get him on because I wanted to quiz him and debate him, but he didn't want to come on. Surprise. Andrew Yang didn't want to come on and talk about UBI. He wanted to talk to everybody but me about UBI, but he didn't want to come on and talk to me about it. So he's not going to come on. So I've got a lot of things on his website. By the way, he's funded by the usual suspects. I looked into his funding. That was one of the things I was going to ask him about, was his funding. He's getting a lot of money from the Ad Council. You know, Trump gave the Ad Council $250 million to push out propaganda about the vaccine. So we'll take a look at his funding. But I particularly want to talk about the arguments that he's going to make, because I want you to have the tools. And I'm not an authority on all things Christian or whatever. I'm just going to tell you what my understanding is, and you make up your own mind. And maybe there's some stuff there that you can use, and maybe there's some stuff that you would not want to use. But I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm going to tell you what the other side, how the other side is going to challenge you, because your best bet right now, your best bet, is to file a religious exemption. That is your best hope. If they ignore it and fire you anyway, you've got grounds for a legal challenge. And we're seeing that happening. I've got some stories about that right now. They're very afraid of that. But even more than that, your best bet is being on the side of God and to never, ever violate your conscience. If you've got any shadow of a doubt about the ethical issues with this vaccine, stay away from it. You don't get into any gray areas with your conscience, and you certainly don't violate it in a black area where you know, well, this is, I know that this is wrong, but I'm going to do it because I need a job and I need to support my family. Well, guess what? That's the wrong answer. That is always the wrong answer. God can support your family. I have lived that. Now, I'm not talking about what happened this year and the generous support that I've received from people. I thank each and every one of you who have supported this, but I see it as coming from God. And I've been in the situation where I was all by myself before. When we sold the business, as I talked about the video business that we were in, we got ripped off. We had a guy who brokered the business sale who specialized in taking advantage of new Christians. So we've been sheep who have been fleeced in the past by these types of people. So we lost everything. We had to rebuild from the ground up. And God provided it all the way. All the way. So, and it was a great experience for us. It was a great learning experience because it was the best thing that we ever had. Always up to that point, things had come very easy for me. I had never had any problem with school. I'd never had any problem making money. I had no problems in my business. Everything had just sailed along fine until I became a Christian. And it got rocky because at that point God says, oh yeah, do you trust me? Well, I'll show you that you can trust me. And so we have situations like that. And I got to say that it helped me because if you don't have a situation like that, you start to think, well, it wasn't a problem for me. Why can't other people do this? And you can start to fall into the arrogant Ayn Rand trap that so many libertarians have fallen into, where you don't have any compassion for people. You know, poor people give a lot more to charity than the rich people do. And they're much more generous with people because they have compassion. They've been there. They understand it. And so, you know, that's a real blessing. But I hope that answered your question. Three different categories of people: people who are direct federal employees, people who are contractors, and there is an executive order for those two people. But there is still the opportunity to push on this religious exemption. The third category is a complete bluff at this point in time. There's not even anything that the state attorneys general can challenge with that. These companies are doing this because they want to do this. It's just that simple. So, you know, when we look at the vaccine mandates, this is another person who wrote me, says I'm a Southwest Airlines pilot. And he says, points out, a lot of people have caught on to this now. I didn't realize that, but thank you. I've seen this several places now. Gary Kelly, the guy who is the CEO and the chairman of the board for Southwest Airlines, is involved with the World Economic Forum, those Davos people there. Klaus Schwab and he are buddies. Yeah, that's right. He's got, if you look, you'll find stuff about Gary Kelly and the World Economic Forum all over the place. So, yeah, thanks for the heads up and the tip. He says, it all makes sense now with this ever-expanding liberal BS that we as Southwest Airline employees have been dealing with ever since he came to power. Who knows the backroom deals that he was guaranteed if he pushes this jab onto us, into us? Me and thousands like me will hold the line. I'm so sickened by this. I have been at Southwest Air for 24 years, and I have over 10 years left before the mandatory 65 age limit. He says, by the way, I have on good word that 4,000 pilots out of the 9,500 pilots at Southwest Air haven't taken the poison. I'm hoping that at least 2,000 will not cave. Also, I have heard that 20% of Southwest Air employees are hardline. So that's about 12,000 people. And we have the power, just hoping, that these cohorts will hold the line. Yes, I hope they do. I hope they do. Union Pacific Railroad employee sent me this. He says, I work for Union Pacific as a locomotive electrician. I was informed today that we are considered to be federal contractors. See? This is, you know, when you stop and think about it, think about how many people work for the federal government, and then think about how many people work for companies that do business with the federal government. That's why they did those two. And they've got a lot of control over those two, because it's the money. That's how they always do it. It's the money, right? Show me the money.
Show me the money!
That's right, it's the money. That's the way they always control everything, isn't it? That's why Trump did what he did with the executive order. It was always about the money. That's why you see the back and forth with either fines or subsidies all the time. The government is doing it. It's about the money. They'll give you money as a carrot, or they'll take it away from you as a stick with a fine. And I'm telling you, that was going to be the approach that Trump was going to take to push his shots that he loves so much through to everybody. It's going to be the incentive. Biden will do the stick. Either way, you do not want that shot, and we do not want a global ID. Either way, it's the Gates agenda. So, he says, we're considered to be federal contractors, therefore we fall under Biden's mandate for federal employees. There will be a very large number of employees refusing the toxic jab, and the railroad barely functions as it is now. So when it loses manpower, it will not function. It will collapse, and it will collapse the supply chain in a massive way. So we're looking at... You're looking at almost everything in the country, right, has a long supply chain. I talked about this about 6 months or so ago with the guy who wrote, what's the name of the manual?
Civil Defense Manual.
Yes, thank you. CivilDefenseManual.com. Excellent book. We were talking about emergencies and preparing. We were talking about how fragile our supply system is. And he has a chart in his book, I think, or it's on his website, where he talks about how it shows how, you know, it goes from, there it is right there, it goes from, you know, one thing, they do a little bit of thing here, and then they ship it to something else, and then they ship it to, from there to the next stage, and from there to the next stage, and every one of these are just in time. So as I pointed out yesterday, there is no redundancy in the suppliers as there used to be. That's what Charles Hugh Smith was talking about yesterday. He said, you know, there's no redundancy. It used to be that they would have multiple suppliers and they would divide their business up between these suppliers to keep them all in business. But then they decided they'd be more effective to have just one and they could get better prices with it and so forth. So everybody's got like one supplier. Everybody is operating just in time. There's no inventory anywhere. And there are transportation links all the way through this chain, everywhere. And these transportation links are going to be by plane, by rail, and by truck. And so you see what's happening. You know, they've got the people with the, they've got everything but the truckers, and the truckers have a big shortage as well. I don't know how they're going to operate this scam with federal contractors and things like that with the truckers, but they can easily shut down the railroads and the planes on those bases if they want to keep doing business with the federal government, if that's a big part of their business. Then they've got them. And if you don't comply with that and you would rather lose your job, then that's going to impact the way all these things operate. So by December 8th, they're saying, and he sent me a copy of Union Pacific, as an any employee who responds, no, I have been vaccinated, has an opportunity to apply for an accommodation for medical or for religious reasons. Those without an approved accommodation must be fully vaccinated by the December 8th deadline. So they're, you know, mentioning a little bit of the wiggle room. Again, Remember, it's the religious exemption that is going to be the one that's going to have the most effect. And so we're going to talk about that in detail tomorrow. Record-breaking 4.3 million Americans quit their jobs in August, says USA Today. Well, maybe they quit, maybe they were fired. Right? Now, this is the August numbers in perspective. This is before the mandate, but the mandates were already being put out there by many organizations. As a matter of fact, when we get to this in just a moment, I think if you go back and look at what happened at Houston Methodist, the first hospital to fire people, that came out, I think, in May. They did that in April. So even before this phony mandate from Biden and the one that about private companies is phony, it doesn't exist, even before his press release about that for private companies with 100 or more employees, even before that came out, you already had businesses that were doing this because they wanted to. And by the way, the businesses that are doing this now are doing it because they want to. They don't have to. Some of these businesses are over a barrel. Maybe they will go out of business if they lose the federal contracts. But the ones that are falling under this rule of 100-plus employees are doing it because they want to. So there's a quote from Robert Reich, the Berkeley professor, former labor secretary, Democrat. He said, "There is no labor shortage. There is a child care shortage. There is a living wage shortage. There is a hazard pay shortage. There is a paid sick leave shortage. There is a health care shortage," he said. Well, you know what there's not a shortage of? Mandates. We don't have a shortage of mask mandates. We don't have a shortage of vaccine mandates. You think that might have something to do with people wanting to not work with a mask over their face all day? Or being forced to take a genetic code injection? All these things are issues. But you notice the ones that they don't talk about. More than 50% of surveyed job seekers on ZipRecruiter are looking to work from home, but they said that's a staggering number because typically only about 10% of jobs offer that opportunity. Only about 37% of jobs in the U.S. could even theoretically be done from home. You understand? So only about 10% of jobs are even doing that. Only about 40% of the jobs at this point could be done that way. I mean, you actually have to do something at some point in time. You actually have to deliver things. You have to manufacture things. You have to connect to people and deliver stuff. Oh, yeah, we can do everything by robots, right? Well, if they do that, it's going to be massive unemployment. And when they talk about that, when they say, well, you know, only about 10% of jobs offer that opportunity, only slightly more than a third of the jobs can be done from home. You know, they have talked, and their plans are by 2030 to have massive unemployment, 50 to 60% unemployment in transportation. And they've talked about even in some of the white-collar jobs, like lawyers and doctors in South Korea, about 6 years ago, they projected that by 2030, they would lose 70% in those areas, doctors and lawyers, even more so than things like transportation workers. So this is what they're talking about. This is all part of the plan. They had planned all along, as Bloomberg said, we just got to figure out how to get these people to accept what we want to do to them and not resist, to not come after us, in his words, with guillotines. As one listener wrote in and said, "Do you notice that all the essential businesses that got billions of dollars in gifts from Trump are now the ones who are mandating everything?" Yep, that's exactly right. They're the ones who have been given the Wall Street cash, the Wall Street subsidies. They're too big to fail. They're partners in all of this. And especially the multinational corporations, they are part of the global governance. They're stakeholders. You aren't if you're not part of that club. So there's chaos in Texas as employees who have been fired for refusing to get vaxxed demand their jobs back. And I had people on social media engage me right away and said, you know, as soon as I put out a thing, I said, look at this. You know, we finally got something from Greg Abbott where he's addressing the vaccine passports in order to be able to go into a business and the mandates from employers to fire employees. Finally addressing this, finally, many, many months after DeSantis has done it. But it remains to be seen if he has any teeth, and it doesn't appear that they've really got any teeth in it. And now when they come back with a special session of the legislature, they're going to put it in law, but they're still, I bet, not going to have any real teeth in it. It has to be enforced. But as soon as I put that out, I had people saying, well, what about the people who've already been fired because they wouldn't take the jab? Things are getting very confusing in Texas shortly after Governor Abbott issued an executive order banning the vaccine mandates by any employer, which in turn was followed by several prominent Texas corporations, such as IBM, American Air, and Southwest Air, saying that they would ignore the Texas executive order and they would go with Biden's executive order because that's what they wanted to do all along. And there is no executive order for them on that, right? That's what I'm pointing at. Yeah, unless they are federal contractors, they're not covered by that. He's got three categories: federal employees, federal contractors, and the private companies. And I'm sure, you know, IBM, they're a federal contractor. They sell a lot of stuff to the federal government. They don't want to lose that federal business, so they're going to mandate. They're going to fall into category number two, for example, just like these airlines. Said, we've reached a point where the employer's side of the governor's other side, where some employers side with the governor and others side with the president. Meanwhile, employees have no idea what to do or what not to do, while yet another group of former employees that was fired for refusing to comply with the mandates is now trying to get their jobs back. As I said yesterday, that's what we want to have. We want to have a legitimate test of wills and an application of the 10th Amendment. The only governor who's doing that is DeSantis. He is fighting this. He's fighting them in the courts. He's fighting them with fines. He is directly opposing the authority of Biden. And DeSantis is right on this. DeSantis has the authority. Biden is the one who is rebelling against the Constitution. And so the 10th Amendment is on the side of DeSantis, is on the side of Greg Abbott, but don't expect Greg Abbott to do anything other than virtue signal. So about 150 former employees of Houston Methodist Hospital who either quit or were fired in June, they were fired. They're saying everybody is quitting, but they were fired over the vaccine mandate policy, will demand to be rehired now after Governor Abbott has issued an executive order on Monday banning any entity in the state from implementing such mandates. Well, again, the hospital systems are having the financial pressure put on them from Washington via Medicare and Medicaid. That's how they're getting them to dance their tune, via Medicare and Medicaid. And they've already incentivized that during the Trump lockdown. As I pointed out, in August of last year, the American Hospital Association said, wait a minute, you gave us a big bonus, 25% bonus, if we treated somebody who was a COVID patient. That's why they're doing this before they even help somebody who's having a heart attack. Well, first give them the test, and then we can, you know, add a 25% bonus to everything we do, and then let people die, as I pointed out from the listener who works in EMS. The guy is having a heart attack. He respirated a bunch of stuff as he was having an endoscopy, and he died of a heart attack. You know, they're delaying everything so that they can test him for COVID and get the bonus. Anyway, that's how they control it. You know, they financially incentivize this kind of medical malpractice with the money that was released by Trump's executive order. And so Medicare and Medicaid is how they're exercising that financial pressure on these hospitals. Governor Abbott says very clearly, whereas countless Texans fear losing their livelihoods because they object to receiving a COVID vaccination for reasons of personal conscience, that applies to every plaintiff that I represent and every plaintiff that Methodist Hospital thought it was appropriate to fire. Houston Methodist was the first hospital in the country to implement a vaccine mandate for workers going back to April, sparking a fierce legal battle between hundreds of employees in the hospital. In June, 178 employees were suspended after declining to get the vaccine. Weeks later, 153 employees resigned or were terminated. 25 decided to get the vaccine and return to work, but the other 153 were either resigned or terminated, depending on how you want to couch this. They're saying, well, you quit. You quit. We're not firing you. We didn't fire you. You're not going to get any unemployment either, right? That's the game they're playing. Methodist CEO Mark Boom said he was deeply disappointed by Abbott's orders. He added that the order would not have any impact on Methodist, however, since the hospital implemented its vaccine mandate months ago. And I think he's right. I think it's going to hold up in court, unfortunately. Because this, if this is considered to be valid, it will be a ex post facto law, right? You're not going to be held accountable for something that happened in the past. And I've been complaining about this for the last 6 months. Abbott, do something. Abbott, do something. Defend people's lives and their liberties and their jobs. Hey, he sits there and does nothing. Until he notices, as people at Southwest are starting to pull back, when he sees the first bit of resistance, then he does a little bit of something without any teeth. We saw the same type of thing happening with Boris Johnson, the so-called conservative. Didn't do anything until you had more than 500,000 people take to the streets on London. All of a sudden, it's like, well, you know, let's loosen this up a little bit. So back in April, Abbott was still wetting his finger and sticking it in the air to see which way the wind was blowing, and he wasn't doing anything to protect these people. And so now, as they are trying to fight for this, one of the nurses, a RN, registered nurse, Jennifer Bridges, has kind of taken a very vocal position on this. She had a GoFundMe to help fund the campaign to fight this legally. And Jonathan Turley points out that GoFundMe now has blocked people from contributing to the litigation. Jonathan Turley, as a lawyer, said, what's going on here? He said, that's why we have courts. GoFundMe should not be in the position of saying that this is misinformation. GoFundMe should not be in the position of deciding, no, you don't get to challenge this. That's what we have courts for, said Jonathan Turley. She raised more than $180,000 for her lawsuit before being shut down by the company's misinformation category. So Jonathan Turley said, what is striking about this latest ban is the courts are the place for such claims to be weighed, whether it's misinformation or not. You look at these in a neutral and dispassionate forum. Ideally, that's what the courts are about. Misinformation can be addressed by judges after both sides are allowed to present the evidence. And so her lawsuit was dismissed in June, but her attorneys have appealed the decision. And I think they have a good case to make on appeal. But GoFundMe is not going to allow that to be funded. GoFundMe admits to have taken down hundreds of fundraisers that included statements that they said were misinformation related to vaccines. But again, Jonathan Turley says, I do not agree with the arguments of vaccines. I and my family are vaccinated. However, I am equally concerned with avoiding the growing virus of censorship. In the last few years, we've seen an increasing call for private censorship from Democrat politicians and liberal commentators. Faculty, editors are now actively supporting modern versions of book burning, blacklists, and bans for those with opposing political views. Tell me about it. I've lived it. Free speech, I've even been banned by Ban That Video. Free speech can be its own disinfectant for bad speech. That's right. So, if it gets to a court, see, they don't want this to go to a court. This is why you got GoFundMe and the silicon censors taking these things out, because they don't want it to have a day in court. Because in New York, you just had a judge in New York State ban the state of New York from sacking health care workers who refused to get jabbed on religious grounds. So in New York State, you've had a judge that has supported religious exemptions. I'm telling you, that is your best case. That is your best case. The governor of New York has taken Cuomo's place. Kathy Hochul said she backs the vaccine mandate. She said, my responsibility as governor is to protect the people of this state, and requiring health care workers to get vaccinated accomplishes that. I stand behind this mandate. I will fight for this decision in court to keep New Yorkers safe. Safe as slaves. Are slaves safe? No, no. No, you're not safe as a slave. Never safe as a slave. It's not the path to prosperity. You know, if you enslave yourself to these people with these vaccines and with this tracking and all the rest of the stuff, you're not going to be prosperous. You're not going to be safe because you're going to be a slave, and slaves don't have those things. Slaves have no money. They have no safety. Do not accept this slavery. Christopher Ferrara, the lead counsel for the plaintiffs, applauded it. He said, with this decision, the court rightly recognized that yesterday's frontline heroes in dealing with COVID cannot suddenly be treated as disease-carrying villains and kicked to the curb by the command of a health bureaucracy in the state. That's exactly right. But that's what the bureaucracy is doing. Also in New York, New York City's unvaccinated teachers must waive the right to sue if they want to keep health benefits. These people are so devious, and they have so many different ways to shut you down. First of all, they'll say, well, all right, we're going to not even consider your case, as a Democrat judge, as these people at the hospital back in April sued. And so they're appealing it. They try to appeal it. They need some money. GoFundMe says, we're going to shut you down. New York loses on the grounds of violating people's religious exemptions. They lose in court. So then their approach is to, well, we're going to tell you you can't sue us. Unless you either we're going to, when we put you on leave because you won't get the vaccine, we're also going to take your health care benefits unless you sign away your right to sue us. How about that? I mean, these people just never give up. They've got one scheme after the other to take away your freedom and to destroy your life, don't they? New York City teachers who've declined to get the vaccine won't be allowed to keep their health benefits for another year unless they give up their right to sue the city over the vaccine mandate. Health benefits would only continue beyond November 30th for those who signed waivers preventing them from suing the city for getting fired. It did not include a link to the arbitration verdict that says about the waiver requirement, but several teachers told the Epoch Times, or Epoch, I don't know which way you say it, that the Department of Education in New York only explicitly told them about the condition a week ago, right before the mandate went into effect, because they're just making it up. They're coming up with clever legal strategies and prevarications to take away people's rights one way or the other. It's just like they're saying, well, you know, you got a choice. We heard this from Biden. You got a choice. You have freedom of choice. Your choice is this. You either take the vaccine or I take away your freedom forever. That's your choice. I'm giving you a choice. I'm pro-choice. Yeah. This stipulation was given out by a third-party arbitrator, the official told the Times, on the condition of anonymity. The unions and the Department of Education both agreed to it. The Department of Education didn't make this decision. So they're betrayed by their union on this at the very last minute. They changed the terms of service. Where did we see that happen? Oh, that's right. The people who run the technocracy, the silicon sensors, are doing that all the time. Look at your TOS. Look at your terms of service. We just changed them. Long legal document. We just unilaterally changed this. You agree to this? These are, we should start calling them terms of servitude. Because that's what these terms of service are. Yeah, they're not serving you. You're serving their interests. Brazil's Bolsonaro decides not to get vaccinated. By the way, whenever I say that word, I don't. It's always translated by my transcript program as bows and arrows. it has some interesting translations that it comes up with at times. He says, I've decided not to get vaccinated. I'm looking at new studies, and I already have the highest immunization because he's had it, and he recovered, right? Remember? Oh, they were all drinking champagne and celebrating when they saw that he was sick. He's going to die. Well, he didn't die. And now he's got lifetime immunity. And he doesn't need your genetic jab. So he said, why would I get vaccinated? The 66-year-old said. He said it'd be the same as betting 10 of whatever their currency is, 10 on the lottery to win 2. It doesn't make any sense. In other words, I've already got what I need. Why would I make a losing bet on this? Because that's what you're doing. You're playing the lottery. And you're taking a certain risk, and the payoff is not there. He also strongly opposed health passes given to those that are vaccinated, required by some large Brazilian cities in order to access certain public spaces. He said, for me, freedom comes before everything else. If a citizen doesn't want to get vaccinated, that's his right, and that's the end of it. You know, he's always called the Trump of South America. But see, the difference is that unlike Trump, he didn't produce a toxic vaccine and send it around the world. by showering tens of billions of dollars on the big pharmaceutical industry. He didn't deliver it with the military. He didn't send it around the world. And he didn't take it. He didn't take the shot. See, Trump, as we're told, was also sick. But Trump took the shot, he said. Why would he take the shot if he was already sick and recovered? If he did take the shot. Trump, remember when he went on to talk to Sean Hannity, they talked a great deal about the vaccines, about natural immunity, about forced vaccinations. You know, he talks about the, calls it the China virus vaccine. He didn't call the Trump shot. I call it the Trump shot. He's proud of it. You know, he developed it. Nobody else could do anything like this, right? Couldn't do it in as short a time as that. Yes, because everybody else, Trump would have tested it. When they got a genetic code injection, something has never been done before, any other person would have tested it, but not a stupid shill like you. So he calls it the China virus vax. Well, we could compromise. Instead of calling it the Trump shot, we could call it the warped priority of speed vaccine. How about that? Instead of warp speed, the warped priority of speed, because it was all about speed. The only thing that we cared about was speed, right? So he said, you should not have to get it. If you've had the China virus, you shouldn't have to get it. But when you get it, you don't. You shouldn't have to be forced. That's the direct transcript. They want to force people who have had it to have the vaccine. When in actuality, when you have it, you don't need the vaccine. So then why'd you get it, Trump? Were you trying to sell? Were you being a big pharmaceutical salesman? Yes, you were, as always. As always, you're being a big pharmaceutical salesman just like you were in May of 2019 when you said they got to get the shots. And so we got to take away religious exemptions and medical exemptions for students. They got to get the shots. You took away medical and religious exemptions for measles. You pushed out these vaccines, these mRNA genetic code injections with tens of billions of dollars lining the pockets of these now filthy rich pharmaceutical criminals. You minted 9 new individual billionaires. You threw so much cash at them. And then he has the audacity to say this. Remember this, the drug companies make a lot of money and they like it. Yeah, he knows that, doesn't he? I don't know who else wants it or likes it, but when you get it, you don't have to take the vaccine. What? This one person said, well, Trump could have just said, you shouldn't have to take the vaccine if you don't feel it's for you. He won't say that. You know, we had an interesting back and forth, and I saw Sanjay Gupta went on with Joe Rogan, and I've never watched a Joe Rogan show. I honestly haven't. I guess I'm about the only person on earth to not watch it because I just don't really have a lot of time to watch other people do shows. Constantly reading, I can get the information a lot better that way. So I read what people say about what Tucker Carlson said or what Joe Rogan said or whatever or what Sanjay Gupta said. And so CNN, I noticed, he said, well, I talked to Joe Rogan for more than 3 hours. And Joe Rogan talked to Alex Berenson for more than 2 hours the other day. He's getting people from both sides. He is skeptical about this. Joe Rogan has had COVID, and he has recovered from it. But again, like I said, I don't hang on every word. I mean, you know, Alex used to have a guy who was cutting every show of Joe Rogan so he could see what Joe Rogan is saying, just like he does with Tucker. You know, it's like, oh, these guys are popular. What are they saying? I can say that, too. Not a leader, he's a follower. He's trying to make money off of this stuff. Anyway, he said, we sat in a windowless podcast booth with two sets of headphones and microphones and a few feet between us. Not a single interruption, no cell phones, no distractions, no bathroom breaks. I don't think I've ever had a conversation that long with anyone else before. Welcome to my world. I do this on a daily basis, 3 hours. Yeah, it's kind of making me crazy, I guess. I don't know. He says, and then after he talks about how long this was, he says, at a time when there's a desire for shorter, crisper content, responding to abbreviated human attention spans, one of the most popular podcasts in the country features conversations that last exceptionally long and go particularly deep. But see, that's the thing, is what I have seen, I can't be really fair in terms of what I say about Rogan because I haven't seen any of his stuff. And I haven't seen this interview. I'm just reading this from the perspective of Sanjay Gupta, the CNN pharmaceutical pusher, chief pharmaceutical pusher. They're all pushing the pharmaceuticals. He's just the chief pusher for this. As one listener wrote to me, he says, you notice that they're not doing any Ask Your Doctor commercials for the vaccines. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Why not? Well, you know, one reason is, as he pointed out, if they were to do Ask Your Doctor commercials for the vaccines, they would have to rattle off all the known side effects. And they do know about the side effects, you know, blood clots and myocarditis and heart attacks and all the rest of the stuff and stroke. And they would have to rattle all that stuff off, and they don't want to do that. Besides, they don't need to, because, as you know, you hear the big pharmaceutical commercials during the commercial breaks, and then when the so-called news content comes back, all of that is a commercial for the vaccine. So they have to buy money for that. But, you know, you're not seeing that either with remdesivir. And I think that is a part of it, right? If you were to tell you, if they were to put up a remdesivir commercial, they would have to tell you about the side effects of remdesivir. And they don't want to do that. So there's that. But when Sanjay Gupta wrote this article, he says, here's a headline for you. Joe Rogan agreed to get vaccinated. And that's why I read this article. It's like, what? Did he? Well, it was a real clickbait piece that he put in there. Because essentially what he's referring to is Joe Rogan said that when he was in Vegas, he had a near vaccination experience, right? It's like a near-death experience. Or he didn't actually die, right? I think it's Erwin Lutzer. I heard him speak one time. He said he was talking about all these near-death experiences, and he goes, well, didn't really mean anything. He goes, I could say that I had a near-Denver experience when I almost went to Denver once, and so I can tell you all about Denver, although I've never been there, right? Anyway, I won't get into the near-death experiences, but he did have a near-death experience because he did nearly get vaccinated, and he was in Vegas. He said he was scheduled to do it, but then some other things came up on his schedule, and it stopped. And he said, see, I'm not anti-vax. I almost got vaccinated. I even scheduled it once upon a time. And so that's what Sanjay Gupta dishonestly puts out there, saying that Joe Rogan agreed to get vaccinated. And there is so much that is dishonest in this. But the person who brought up this thing that we say all the time, libertarians would make the case, you can swing your fist as much as you want, but your freedom to swing your fist stops at my face, right, where my nose begins. And so Sanjay Gupta was the one to use that argument, amazingly. It's like, no, I'm sorry, your freedom to sling your drugs on everybody and to make profits, that ends when you start trying to inject stuff in me. That's really what the real issue is. If your vaccines work, I'm not a threat to you. Your problem is your vaccines don't work. The problem is your vaccines are a toxic poison. We know it. You know it. You're pushing lies on this. But when I looked at this, and again, a lot of this might just be Sanjay Gupta, but it looked like, you know, he had, according to Sanjay Gupta, and of course he's the one writing this, he's saying that he had Joe Rogan on his heels, you know, defensive. Well, gee, that's a pretty good argument, he said. No, it's not an argument. And Biden has said, this is not about your freedom. You know, you got a choice. You either do what I say or you go do nothing for the rest of your life, forever, until you do what I say. That is not true. And this whole idea of you don't have the liberty to make this decision, and if you don't wear a mask, I'm going to die. If you don't get a vaccine, I'm going to die. I mean, we see this over and over again. As I mentioned, Karen injured her back. She went to the chiropractor yesterday, and they were all about masks at this point in time. And the ladies who are at the front desk are like, put your mask on. All right, my back is killing me. So she puts a mask. Got to get it over your nose. Get it over your nose. And she goes in the back and she says to the chiropractor, she says, you know, these things don't work. And he goes, yeah, I know. It's just the people that work for me at the front desk. And we got a lot of people who are in their 80s. And it's like, well, I'm not going to put up with this from you. I'm not going to participate in this charade that is going to be used to enslave us, because that's what this is about. And if we kowtow to this, especially if we know better. I said, you need to give him a copy of what Solzhenitsyn said about live not by lies. We do not live by this lie. You know, as a doctor, that this stuff doesn't work. So why are you playing along with this? Because that's the point of a totalitarian government, to get you to do things and to say things that you know are not true, that you know are not wrong. That's how they control you. And it's how they control all of us. So he said, when I said the free will of your fist doesn't have free will. When I said the free will of your fist ends where your nose begins, when I said this to Joe, he paused and he sat back and he listened for a while. I asked him, is it not possible to advocate strongly for personal freedom, but to recognize the unique threat that a highly contagious disease represents? Well, why don't you recognize that there are safe, effective, and affordable, inexpensive treatments that aren't going to make your corporate sponsors rich? Why don't you acknowledge that? And so anyway, it's a back and forth, and it's pretty pathetic, but he says, and this is the thing that really stood out to me. Not so much that he's saying, well, you know, got a clickbait headline. He nearly got him vaccinated. He had a near vaccination experience. But he said, it's hard to pin him down because he's on both sides of a lot of issues. He said, for example, even as he sometimes railed against masks, the Joe Rogan experience masks, in other words, he's got his label, the Joe Rogan experience. He sells masks with the Joe Rogan experience on them, emblazoned with his logo, available for sale on his website. He said, I bought one and gave it to him as a gift. He looked surprised. He said, incidentally, they're made in Japan. They're made in China. You know, like I said, Alex loves to do everything that Joe Rogan does. They did InfoWars masks. They did masks with InfoWars on them. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Because, you know, it is a shallow, limited hangout, really. You know, both of these programs, they're entertainers. Joe is an entertainer. Alex is an entertainer. You'll get some information, but you're not going to get a lot. It's a limited hangout. It's to make money. Do they really believe what they're saying? Well, listen to this. Not only does he sell the Joe Rogan experience mask like Alex sold the InfoWars masks, but when you go there for the program, a nurse was present to perform a rapid COVID test before we began. We were even checked for the presence of antibodies with a finger prick blood test. Both of us had antibodies, his from natural immunity and mine from the vaccine. And so then they argued about who had better immunity and so forth. But do you notice that? He's got a nurse who is not just doing a temperature check, but is doing a rapid COVID test and then doing a blood test for antibodies. This is Joe Rogan. Anybody that comes into his little, you know, studio there has got to be tested for COVID and tested for antibodies. Is this the guy that you think is going to have has the information and is going to have the integrity to fight this fraud? He's bought into this thing. Unbelievable. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
All right, let's take a look at the toxic meds that everybody is arguing about, whether they're going to force this on us or not. Again, you know, when I look at it, it's one thing to maybe that's why they paid him the big bucks at Spotify, yeah, because he's malleable. But it's just sophistry. It's just entertainment for money. You know, he's not doing anything to again, it may be that Sanjay Gupta is trying to make himself look like, you know, I won the debate type of thing. And maybe that's all that it is. But certainly didn't look like he had much in terms of answers for the questions that Sanjay Gupta gave him. Dr. Peter McCullough, though, does have answers. And these are people who have put their lives on the line. They've lost their careers. Their career in academia, their career in medicine that they spent a lot of time on. These are people of integrity. Listen to them. Dr. Peter McCullough, other top doctors, are suing the FDA to try to get information about these Pfizer vaccines. And let me just say, this is why I played for quite some time a report that I did about 10 or 15 years ago with a group that I was working with at the time about climate change. They want the same end results. They're working toward the same goals, the same actions to shut everything down with the climate change stuff that they did, and they called it global warming. But now that's become such an obvious lie, they don't use that term anymore. Now it's just climate change. It's going to change one way or the other. Can't make up our mind. Is it going to be, you know, we're going to melt or we're going to freeze to death? Well, I don't know. But whatever it is, it's man-made and we got to take your life away. Just like whatever it is, this pandemic, we got to take everything away from your life. So it was about 15 years ago, I was involved with an organization that was suing Michael Mann over ClimateGate. ClimateGate, if you recall, was largely centered in the UK, East Anglia University. Academics there were gaming the system for grants. They were producing a bunch of bogus studies that were then used by the UN and other government agencies to push this agenda that we now are still fighting. And they used these, they were passing emails back and forth to each other. Our models are not working. We've got to find some way to hide the decline in temperatures as we see CO2 going up. The temperatures are not going up along with it. They're going in the opposite direction. They're going down. Our models predicted that the temperature was going to go up along with CO2 production. How do we hide this? And so they were conspiring about how they could do statistical prevarications to hide the fact that they had lied to everybody. And so the same thing is happening now. Not only do they have the same goals and the same things that they want to take away from us, they also have the same MO, same method of operation. They lie to people. They say, we are the scientists, we are the experts, we are the authorities, but no, you can't see my data, even after they've published the papers and the papers have been used to craft public policy. It's always the same thing. That's why I played that, because both the climate change and the pandemic are going to the same goal, where you own nothing, you have nothing, you're locked in a smart city and all this other stuff. And they take everything away from you and control everything that you do. They both have the same goal. They use the same types of lies. They use arguments from authority, they use scientism, they conceal their lies, they refuse to give up their data. And this is what's happening now with Dr. Peter McCullough and others. A lawsuit filed on September the 16th in the federal courts here in Texas. Quote, the medical and scientific community and the public have a substantial interest in reviewing the data and the information underlying the FDA's approval of the Pfizer vaccine. That's what we were saying in our thing. You're going to alter society. You're going to reorganize society based on this idea that temperature is going to rise dramatically because of a rise in CO2. You need to show us your data because there's a lot riding on this. And that's what they're saying about this. Reviewing this information will settle the ongoing public debate regarding the adequacy of the FDA's review process. Releasing this data should also confirm the FDA's conclusion that the Pfizer vaccine is safe and effective, and thus increase confidence in the Pfizer vaccine. In other words, you know, if you show us the data and the data is correct, Now people are going to have more confidence in the FDA. Otherwise, we're not going to have any confidence in the FDA. We're going to consider that you're a corrupt, controlled regulatory agency working for the people that you're supposed to regulate and excusing anything. Since the FDA is a governmental agency, the suit reminds the court that the public has a right to obtain and to review all of the FDA's data per the Freedom of Information Act. Now, we did that over the climate issue at the University of Virginia. Michael Mann, the guy who came up with this fictitious hockey stick thing that was used so much by Al Gore, he did all of this research and published these papers and engaged in this conspiratorial emailing about how to lie about the data and to come up with more prevarications. He did all of that while he was at the university on company time on university computers, university email. And then the product of all that was used for policies to take things away from us. And so we said, we'd like to see the data. Oh, no, you can't. We're not going to give it. The University of Virginia stonewalled at first. But eventually they gave up because they're a public organization. And so maybe we'll be able to get this information from the FDA. We'll have to see. But what happened with the ClimateGate stuff was even after and immediately after the University of Virginia capitulated after several years of fighting it, they even resisted giving the information to the Virginia State Attorney General. But after they capitulated, immediately Michael Mann came in. He was working at a different university. I think he was up in Pennsylvania. And he came in with a private suit saying, this is my stuff and you can't see it. It's like, it's stuff that you did on a university computer. And oh, by the way, we just had somebody disciplined, fined, and fired for using the public, the university's email system for personal stuff. So is that what you're worried about? He said, no, it's private. So it's, and it's copyrighted stuff. Well, you publish the data. It's been used for public policy. We should be able to see it. We did not win that fight. So I'm concerned that they will not win because we're talking about a very corrupt government. The FDA denied the FOIA request to have the information expedited by claiming that the group suing them, quote, listen to this, did not demonstrate a compelling need that involves an imminent threat to the life or the physical safety of an individual. They're talking about individual health. All this has been about public health. How many times have I said there is no such thing as public health? There's only the health of the individual. The public health is made up of the health of individuals. And if you deny the health of individuals, there is no such thing as public health. Now they're saying you can't see this information because you don't have standing. How many times have we heard that before? The election stuff, right? You don't have standing. This has to be about an individual. Well, okay, so it's public health when they want it to be. It's about individual health when they want it to be. They're going to play these kinds of prevaricating games all of the time. The FDA should follow their own protocols surrounding transparency, says the suit, as well as the law under FOIA, if for no other reason than to regain the trust of the public. And, you know, when we look at this, this is one of the reasons why I said the other day, you know, let's not use the argument about Cormenati. We have to go to the crux of the issue. It's not about a label. It's not about, well, over here they use, every drug has got two names. It's got a generic name. It's got a trade name, a label name they use in different places. It's not about that distinction. It's about the fact that the FDA has no legitimate, the emperor has no clothes, right? They've got no legitimacy in this. They've got no legitimacy in their emergency use authorization because of the efficacy that we've seen now. And they certainly don't have any legitimacy to give it full FDA authorization. That violates all their rules. But when you try to get the information from them, they say, well, now we've got, no, we're not going to give that to you. Even though, if we gave you the information, you know, and we showed you that it was valid, that would restore trust in the FDA. We have to not avoid the fact that the FDA is violating its own rules, is acting criminally and corruptly. That's the core argument, not arguing about labels. And so they don't want you to see the data. Listen to this exchange between the State Health Director of Maine and some people who are trying to get them to analyze the data. Even when they have the data, They don't want to talk about the conclusion.
Did you hear the testimony of Dr. McCullough? You did. You were listening, correct?
Yes, I did.
And he talked about the Medicare and Medicaid data. And there's a slide that he looked at, and we talked about it, slide number 10 in that slide pack. And that slide pack says that there have been 661 deaths of Mainers within 28 days of vaccination. Now, you testified that you're not concerned about that because a lot of people die in Maine every year, 15,000 or so on. But 661 deaths within 28 days of the vaccination, isn't that a signal that you should investigate?
Sir, you indicated that you put words in my mouth in saying I was not concerned about that.
Okay.
I never used that phrase, so I respectfully ask you not to characterize my testimony accordingly. Secondly, those processes, to the extent they are reported, are investigated and evaluated at the U.S. CDC level.
661 reported Maine deaths within 28 days of vaccination. As a percentage of the total deaths caused by COVID-19 in this state, what is that, 60%?
That's not an accurate comparator.
No, let's assume for a moment that all of those deaths, those 661 deaths, were caused by the vaccination.
Why would we assume that?
Because I'm going to ask you a question. Just assume it for the sake of argument. If it's true that 661 people have died as a result of the vaccine, and only 1,070 people have died in the state as a result of COVID-19, wouldn't that be a cause of concern for you?
That's an if. I won't answer a question based on premises I disagree with.
Don't you think you should investigate those 661 deaths and find out about it pretty quickly, since you're asking thousands of people to be injected by October the 15th?
Yeah, don't you think you ought to look at the data? Wouldn't you be concerned that 661 people died over, and here's the key thing that the lawyer did not make, the case. That's 60%. So when he talks about 1,000 people have died, they say, in their database, within, I guess, 28 days of testing positive of COVID. Is that the way that they're looking at this? But anyway, they're saying COVID deaths, however they define that. They're saying 1,000 people in Maine. And he says, well, since we've had this vaccine, you've had 661 people die. You know, so we're talking about over 60%. Now, also understand that we're talking about a period of time for the vaccine that is 9 months, whereas with the COVID testing and all that, we're talking about something that's more like 18, 19 months. So you're looking at, if you want to double that, if you looked at it over the same amount of time, if you were to normalize this over time, you would expect at this rate that you would have about 20% more people dying from the vaccine than from COVID, according to the Maine statistics, according to the CDC statistics. But the state public health director of Maine doesn't want to look at that. I'm not interested, he says. Why is he not interested? That's the real question. So about, you know, you would have about 1,200 people die at the same rate from the vaccine for the same period of time, as opposed to 1,000. So, but we don't want to do that. We will shut the economy down, and we'll make everybody get the more dangerous thing. This is why Bolsonaro in Brazil was saying, well, why would I roll this, you know, especially when I've already had it and recovered? You know, I wouldn't want to take something that is a greater risk. You know, I'm going to bet $10 on a chance that I might win $2. Doesn't make any sense at all. Robert Malone did an interview with LifeSite News. He says, besides having zero public accountability, the agencies are disinterested, as you just saw. It wasn't the FDA or the CDC that recognized the risk of myocarditis and pericarditis, right? It was people who were outside of those so-called regulatory agencies that pointed out these risks. Everything about this has been pointed out by other people. The FDA and the CDC have been making excuses for the pharmaceutical companies while other people are doing the research and pointing out the connections. They just muddy the water. They do the cover-ups. That's all they've done. You can say the same thing about the blood clots as well. And when they do anything, they come up with a false narrative. Remember when they first started rolling out Johnson & Johnson? And you had 48 people, four dozen people, in four different states at four different sites, just four different sites. They had 48 people who got the injection and immediately passed out. This is not a bad batch. This is over four different states. And it all happened within a few days. And unfortunately for them, they were not able to tamp that down. So that was such a damaging narrative of these people immediately having bad effects that they paused Johnson & Johnson. And they said, well, we've had reports that six women, only women, have had blood clot issues. How ludicrous is that at this point? It was ludicrous then. Already in their database, they had more than 800 people, male and female, all different ages, that had had reported blood clot issues. That was pretty early on. And now it's in several thousand. Highly documented. And yet they said, well, we shut this down. We paused it for a week or two because, you know, we want to do everything to protect your safety. This is about, telling everybody we're doing our due diligence and we're going to protect you. We're going to investigate all this from a safety standpoint. They said, we've had 6 million people who've been vaccinated, and now we've only had six women who've had blood clot issues. We've decided that's an acceptable risk, and so we're back again. See, we were looking out for your safety. We were doing our job. No, they weren't. They were lying for these people. They were lying to you about the numbers then, and they're lying to you about it now. In Israel, Iceland, Canada, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, they've all recognized the increased risk of Moderna's vaccine for heart conditions, but they ignore it for Pfizer. Why is that? Pfizer has the same number of these cases, as a matter of fact, a little bit worse, in the VAERS database, but they pay no attention to it. It's just who you buy off, or who buys you off. So while Robert Malone says no healthy young male should get a COVID vaccine, he said it is far more dangerous than the virus, and he's shocked at the lack of public messaging on the danger. So let's give you a little bit of public messaging. First of all, here is a basketball player who is now a former basketball player, healthy, young. He played for the Atlanta Hawks. His name is Brandon Goodwin. Here's what he has to say about the vaccine and what it did to him.
You know, I was just super tired in the games. Like when we played Philly back-to-back, bro, I was so tired. Like, I felt like I couldn't run up and down the court. And then my back was hurting. Then we went home, I think. That's when I started, like, my back really started hurting bad. Like, and then I'm like, all right, I got to go to the doctor. And that's when I found out I had blood clots. Like, that all happened in a span of a month. I was fine up until then. Up until I took the vaccine, I was fine. So people trying to tell you, like, no, it's not the vaccine. No, like, how do you know? You don't know. Yes, the vaccine ended my season. 1,000%. And then the Hawks, nothing against the Hawks. They just called me the next day while I was in the hospital and told me, like, oh, we're going to tell the press that, you know, your season's over. I'm like, damn, how? Like, we don't even know what it is. Or it's whatever. I'm not even going to get into all that, bro.
Yeah, they're not going to stand behind you. They're not going to protect you. Your employers who are mandating the vaccines will throw you under the bus. It's a big bus. And it's moving at warp speed, isn't it? And so he's saying, yeah, I had it, you know, within a month, all these things developed. And so you'll hear people say, well, it's a month. It was 6 months. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing in about 6 months, a lot of these things are kicking in. Heart attacks and other things. Bob Odenkirk, who... you know, Better Call Saul, had heart attacks, very, very healthy. People say, I'm really surprised. You know, he's in such great shape. He'd just done an action movie the year before. He was in very good shape. And immediately has a heart attack after he made a big deal of getting the vaccine, 6 months. You know, we have seen these people say, well, you know, it took a year for these things to develop a pandemic. And so there is no connection for that. The narcolepsy, the catalepsy. But the people who had not been bought out by the big pharmaceutical companies in the Scandinavian countries, just like you're seeing them call BS on this now, they called BS on that at the time. Said, no, we've got it very well documented. We know exactly what caused this. And so now it's amazing to me to hear people say, well, that was a full 6 months. Oh, that was a month. That was 2 weeks after they got it, they dropped dead. That was 48 hours after they got it. There's absolutely no connection to that at all. It doesn't matter. You could get the vaccine and drop dead right there, and they would still tell you there's no connection to it. These coincidence spirit people. Now, here's another player. This is Vinny Curry. He played for the New York Jets. He got blood clots also. Remember, Robert Malone, who developed the mRNA vaccine, Robert Malone, who is being hunted down, as he pointed out, for telling the truth about this. He and many other doctors, like Peter McCullough, losing their livelihood, but not losing their integrity. And Malone said, no healthy young male should get this. It is far more dangerous than the virus. Heart issues, blood clot issues. So here is another young athlete, professional athlete, Vinny Curry, the New York Jets. Now, he was doing PSAs for this thing. But now, this is the PSA that he did. Now he has blood clots, and they had to remove his spleen, and he isn't playing anymore.
Hi, I'm Vinny Curry. I got the COVID-19 vaccine, and I'm joining our partners at Atlantic Health System to tell you why you should, too. It's easy, safe, effective in protecting yourself, family, friends, and others against the virus. Let's reach the end zone together. So wash your hands.
Yeah, reach the end zone together. Pfizer in one Brazilian city, and I'm surprised because, you know, Bolsonaro says, I'm not getting it. He's saying we're not going to have the passports. But again, as I've said, a local jurisdiction can make things better or can make things worse. The lesser magistrate, if they hang together, they can make things better or they can make it worse. Pfizer is forcing everyone over the age of 12 in a Brazilian city to get the COVID shot. This is a LifeSite News article. They will force the citizens of Toledo, and they got a Toledo in Brazil, a city in the state of Paraná, near the Paraguayan border, to be injected with two doses of the COVID shot, then studied for 1 year as part of Pfizer's attempt to ascertain the long-term consequences of the abortion-tainted vaccine. Well, let me tell you, that's still not a test. Remember when they went in and they used all the Israeli people, the Israeli government used the Israelis as lab rats for Pfizer? They said, well, we want to be the first country to get vaccinated because we know, because we're on the inside, right? All these world leaders know that your country is going to become an isolated island based on the percentage of people who are vaccinated. And, of course, that percentage is going to have to be 100%. So they wanted to get there first. And so they wanted to subject their people to being lab rats. And they promised Pfizer, if you put us at the front of the list, we'll collect all the data for these people, and we'll give it to you for a period of 2 years, which is what they would have done if they had actually done a long-term test. See, doing 2 months and then putting this out because Trump said so, that's not a long-term test. What that is a reprehensible mass violation of all ethical rules, all legal rules, to expose people to an untested thing that hasn't been tested at all. It's not a long-term test. It doesn't make it a long-term test by giving it to millions or tens of millions or billions of people. That doesn't make it a long-term test. A long-term test is based on time. And so they're doing a long-term test in Israel. They want to do another long-term test in Toledo. Why are they doing this? Pfizer knows that they don't have any data on this. It's one of the reasons why they were twisting the arms of people in Brazil and other places, saying, we want you to set up some money in foreign bank accounts, not just give us legal protection against this stuff, but they know that they're engaged in criminal actions. They're willfully, criminally doing this. They have criminal liability. That's why they want offshore bank accounts. And that was reported by a pharmaceutical trade publication, Stat News. Anyway, the initiative is the first and only of its kind to be undertaken in collaboration with a pharmaceutical company in a developing country, said Pfizer in a press release last Wednesday. 56% of Toledo's 144,000 population is reported to be fully vaccinated already. Pfizer is now partnering with a local hospital and a federal university to boost uptake in what the company is calling an observational study. Want to get 100% vaccination. They're telling reporters it was great joy for the city of Toledo to advance the vaccination rate among young people 12 years of age and older. The New York Times reports that 98% of the city's eligible inhabitants have now received their first dose of the Pfizer vaccine, after the company shipped 35,000 doses in late August. Responding to the mandatory vaccine trials by Pfizer, Dr. Aaron Cariotti, Director of Medical Ethics, UC Irvine Health, said the forced participation of the Toledo population, quote, violates every principle of the ethics of human subjects research, including those enunciated in the Nuremberg Code, the Helsinki Declaration, and the Belmont Report. He said they're doing a one-year clinical trial for safety and efficacy. Brazilian citizens will be forced to participate. Forced to participate. So children who have absolutely no risk are being subjected to risk with this. So as Robert Malone gives exclusive interview to LifeSite News, he said the CDC and the FDA are, quote, profoundly corrupt. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, just look at what they did with the horse nonsense about ivermectin. Look at how they have not uncovered or talked about any of these well-documented health effects, blood clots, heart attacks, all these other things. Look at how they have misdirected the public. Look at how they have created lies and Potemkin problems to keep you from seeing the real problem. Oh, it's only six women who had blood clots. No, it's absolutely a lie. He said after he reviewed Pfizer's COVID vaccine data, why is he saying this? He saw the data from the Japanese government. See, the FDA is hiding this information from Peter McCullough and from other doctors who are trying to get it. They're fighting them. No, you can't see it. You can't see it. Sorry. You know, you got cards, you're not showing that, FDA. Right? You got cards, you're not showing. Why is it? Come on. Be honest about this. If you're telling the truth, it's going to help your credibility. So, and if you lie and cover up, you are proving our suspicions. But he doesn't have suspicions. He has data that was given to the Japanese government. Robert Malone said he was shocked and demoralized. That's what he said. At what he discovered. He said these agencies, the CDC and the FDA, allowed the pharmaceutical giant with a criminal record. He's talking about Pfizer. But, you know, Johnson & Johnson has a criminal record, don't they? They were doing the opioid pandemic. They created that opioid pandemic. They were actually making it for Purdue Pharmaceutical and the Sackler family. And so they held them harmless, and then Trump maneuvered them in to be participants in this Operation Warp Speed. So they could be in an industry based on their criminal record of what they've done with baby powder and talc and all this other stuff. Covered that up for years. They have covered that up for decades. You think they can't cover this thing up for decades? After they covered up the talc, after they covered up the opioids, you think these criminal pharmaceutical companies can't cover up this vaccine thing? Why are we trusting them at all? And why are we trusting the regulatory agencies that did nothing to stop any of this stuff for so long? Now they're pivoting over to the vaccines where they have immunity, thanks to Fauci. So the CDC, the FDA, these agencies allowed the pharmaceutical giant with a criminal track record to proceed with human trials and granted an emergency use authorization for its COVID vaccine. Who was the president when that happened? Oh, yeah, that was Trump. And if I remember, it was Trump telling the FDA, you approve this today or you're fired. Who's the biggest criminal in all this? That mafia don that everybody is still fawning over in this kind of disgusting idolatry of the Republicans. The guy who put more pressure on the FDA to be even more corrupt than they already were and to do even more for these murdering criminal organizations was Donald Trump. He's had a lot of practice working with the mafia and people like these big pharmaceutical companies. That's what he's done his entire life. If you look up his history, pay attention to it anyway. Cobbled together, he said, the company appeared to have simply cobbled together information that they'd obtained with other RNAs and other vaccines and put it in as a package in lieu of doing the actual studies, said Malone. A vaccinologist, again, he discovered or developed, first one to develop mRNA vaccines, but he says, let's not use them. He said, any vaccinologist knows that this is always a risk that you're going to have, that it's actually going to exacerbate a situation. That it's actually, if you got a weak vaccine, which this obviously is, it doesn't last. Now, okay, take two shots. Well, that's the first time we ever saw anything like that, right? Oh, you got to take two shots, 30 days apart. We've never seen anything like that before, have we? Oh, and now you got to get another one. You got to get a third one after 6 months. He said, any vaccinologist knows this is always a risk when you do a new vaccine, that you end up with something that makes the disease worse or the infection more efficient. It has historically been the risk that has bedeviled all prior coronavirus vaccine development, and it was specifically identified by the FDA as a risk in their emergency use authorization letters for these vaccines. While the agencies were well aware of the danger, they never insisted on trials being conducted or data proving that the vaccines were free of the potentially devastating risk. No, they had nothing but pressure to do the wrong thing. It operated as a long time as handmaids to these big pharmaceutical companies, and then they had tons of political pressure threatening that they would be fired by Donald Trump if they didn't do all this stuff. So, yeah. The UK has put out their vaccine surveillance report. And as I said before, you know, Alex Berenson went on with Joe Rogan. When he went on, he had week number 38, I think it was, when he did it. Week 40 has come out from the UK, and it's got some interesting data in it. You know, so we can get some data from Japan, and we can get data from the UK. But boy, you can't pry it out of the hands of the FDA, can you, here in America? So here's what we see. And one of the things that really, as he was talking about week 38, I said, well, let me look and see what I can find. So I found week number 40. And in this report that they have, they talk about vaccine effectiveness. They talk about the population impact, vaccine coverage, so forth. How many people have taken it? What are we seeing in terms of our numbers about transmission, infection, mortality, hospitalization, so forth? And in this particular table where they're looking at vaccine effectiveness, they have infection, symptomatic disease, hospitalization, and mortality. So these are the things that they're looking at. And what they did was they color-coded the numbers. They looked at Pfizer, which is, you know, the Pfizer has a trade name of Comirnaty. AstraZeneca, which has a trade name Vaxzevria, and Moderna, which has a trade name, listen to this, Spikevax. Spikevax. Yeah, that's its trade name. So they look at these and they have their effectiveness in terms of infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization and mortality. And then they color code these based on their confidence levels. And they have three different color codes. When they look at their numbers, they say, well, do we have high confidence in these numbers? Do we have medium confidence in these numbers? Or do we have low confidence in these numbers? And when they're giving you their numbers about vaccine effectiveness, guess what? They're all in the low confidence area. And what they define low confidence as is they say, there's little evidence available at the present, and the results are inconclusive. Here we are, about a year after this stuff was developed and they started doing the experimental tests, and now, you know, 9-10 months after they've been doing a mass experimentation on all the people of the world, they still have little evidence at present and the results are inconclusive. The only two categories where they say they have high confidence, where they say that's evidence from multiple stories, consistent and comprehensive, the only two in this whole thing, because they've got three different vaccines and they've got four different things that they're looking at. So they've got 12 boxes. 10 of them, they have no confidence at all. We got no data whatsoever. Two of them, they do. Those two are for AstraZeneca and for Pfizer, and those two are for symptomatic disease. Those are the only two they have any information for. And so on those, they say, well, you know, symptomatic disease, we think it's like 65 to 75% for AstraZeneca. But the rest of these numbers, where they have low confidence, they don't know anything at all about it. They say, except for the infection, which is, they have low confidence in the numbers that they have for infection, but the vaccines don't look too good there. But for all these other numbers where they don't have any information, little evidence is available at present, results are inconclusive, they put the effectiveness in every one of those boxes at 90 to 99%, even though they have absolutely no reason to do that. They start out from the assumption that this is 100% safe and 100% effective. And they don't want to hear anything else. That's the bottom line. That's what you're really seeing from this UK data. Now, they're also, as Alex Berenson was saying, he said, take a look at this. 70% of the people in the UK that died of COVID last month were fully vaccinated. Well, then, of course, the question becomes how many people have been vaccinated? How does that compare? And it turns out that although 70% of the people that died from COVID last month were fully vaccinated, the percentage of the population that is vaccinated, according to this data, 65% have had one dose and 60% have had two doses. So if you look at the people who are fully vaccinated, two doses, that's 60%. And yet 70% of the people who died were the vaccinated people. And I'm sure that vaccinated means two doses. So they're dying at a higher rate than the unvaccinated. And according to Sanjay Gupta, when he told, when he was challenged about why, by Joe Rogan, when he was challenged about why should anybody who's got natural immunity, why should we get this? And what good is your vaccine? He says, well, you know, I just want to say that it helps people to recover, and most of the people who are getting sick is a much higher rate of people who are unvaccinated. That's not what this data says. He didn't offer any proof of that. He just made that flat-out assertion because, you know, he is somebody who is an authority figure. The COVID infection rate was more than double the unvaccinated people at the age of 40. Just like we see in Maine, that clip that I played for you, if you normalize it by time, you know, they have data for 9 months for the vaccine and they have data for 18 months, they say, of people who died of COVID that were unvaccinated before they had the vaccines. And he said, you've got twice as many people if you normalize it. He's got, you've got 60% you've got 661 people who died in 9 months from the vaccine. You've got 1,000 or so people who have died over 18 months, you say, from COVID. Well, if you take it over an 18-month period and extrapolate that out, you have 1,200 people, not 1,000 people, who have died from the vaccine. So if you take it out to 18 months, 1,200 people died from the vaccine, 1,000 people died supposedly from the virus, unvaccinated. Although that may include people who are vaccinated as well as unvaccinated. So there's always some issues here where we have to get more information. Now, you have John Stossel talking to George Mason University economist about the pandemic and about the CDC. And the headline from John Stossel is, well, we got vaccines, so we don't need any restrictions on anything, right? Now, that's also an argument that you shouldn't use. Because the real point, again, with all this, don't use the argument about the Comirnaty, because all that is a label, and the FDA violated all of its rules. So if the FDA wants to, they can just issue a new ruling, just make it up. And they can say, well, now it's for the Pfizer. You want us to put there that it's for Pfizer-BioNTech? All right, we'll do it. We'll put it there for Pfizer-BioNTech. The point is that the FDA doesn't have any credibility. The point is that the FDA is violating all of its rules. They're not following any testing procedures even now. And that, therefore, they have violated all their rules. And this is merely a corrupt formality that they've gone through. So don't make that case. And don't make the case that we got vaccines so we don't need to have pandemic restrictions. We don't need to have pandemic restrictions because, not because we got vaccines, but because we got safe and effective and affordable natural treatments. That's the thing that should be made. But you always have Reason Magazine always pushing the vaccine. Everybody's got to push this vaccine. Even DeSantis is pushing the vaccine. When Greg Abbott puts out his executive order saying, we're not going to let you people mandate the vaccine. He says, but I love the vaccine. I get the vaccine. You should all get the vaccine, but we don't want to have it mandated. And so here, you know, John Stossel is doing the same thing. He said, the CDC recommends staying 6 feet away from others. In Oregon, everybody's got to wear a mask outdoors. And in parts of the country, two-year-olds have to wear masks. Are such rules necessary? He says, well, Denver lifted all pandemic restrictions. And yet here in the United States, and he says, Portugal and Sweden recently removed most restrictions too. The United Kingdom ditched plans to require vaccine passports. We don't have to continue to upend life in our quest to eliminate COVID, which can't happen anyway, said the economist. He said, we've never eliminated a disease that has used both humans and animals as reservoirs. Well, you're never going to get zero COVID unless you have zero people. And quite frankly, that's their goal. He said, we live with countless hazards, each of which we could, but we sensibly choose not to eradicate. For example, automobile fatalities could be eradicated by outlawing motor vehicles. That's what they're doing with Vision Zero. They want to do that. Anyway, drowning could be eradicated by outlawing swimming and bathing. Electrocution could be eradicated by outlawing electricity. And, you know, they're going to do all these things. I mean, they're going to shut our grid down. We could eliminate all gun deaths by eliminating all guns. Oh, yeah, they've been down that road, too. I mean, when we look at this, it's really pretty alarming, isn't it? It's kind of a pattern. You know, we're going to eliminate all COVID deaths by eliminating all human activity and interaction. We're going to eliminate all gun deaths by eliminating all guns. We're going to eliminate all car deaths by eliminating all cars. I mean, these people really do this stuff. And they're holding this out and saying we live with these risks not because we're indifferent to suffering, but because we understand the costs of zero drowning or zero electrocutions would be far too great. And the same thing is true of zero COVID, if you're a rational person. But there are a lot of people out there who are not rational, and they have been listening to CNN, which is not telling the truth, and it's making them far more irrational. This example, an Illinois family pleads with vaccine skeptics after their fully vaccinated grandmother dies at the age of 66. Our worst fears came true, they said. They said we did everything, everything that the experts told us. We did what we were supposed to do. We listened to the experts. We socially distanced ourselves. We wore masks. We got vaccinated, and we're left dealing with the loss of our mother because others refused to do the same. And so I'm the problem. I'm the problem. Because I have not only not listened to the experts, but I've debunked the experts. I have refused to social distance myself from other people. I refused to wear the mask. I refused to get vaccinated. And I did not kill their mother. And people like me did not kill their mother. They obeyed perfectly the experts who are lying to them. The experts who gave them rituals to perform that could not save their lives. The rituals who gave the experts who gave them vaccines that caused their own additional health problems. But they will not blame the experts. They will not blame the pharmaceutical companies, and neither will the Chicago Sun-Times that puts this out. No, no, no. You and I, who were never deceived by these grifting liars, we are the ones who are to blame. Right? The bottom line is, if they could think rationally, they would understand that if the vaccine worked, they would be protected from the virus. They should be angry about the fact that the vaccine did not work, that the vaccine did not protect. But instead, they're angry at the people who didn't get the vaccine. And you see this happening all the time. I had a report yesterday about a couple of kids who got sick at school. They didn't die. Nothing bad happened to them. Very mild case, but the parents sued. They said, you didn't require masks at school. That's why my kids got sick. Well, if we take that approach, we're all going to be living as bubble babies everywhere. We'll all be in a little bubble, right? The bubble boy who had no immune system. You remember that? We're all exposed to pathogens all the time and to things in our environment. And it's not other people's fault, especially if somebody sells you some snake oil, some toxin that was developed by Donald Trump, telling them to skip the testing. If you buy that snake oil and that narrative and you die because it didn't do anything, these are the types of people that, if this was not financially connected, the FDA would be shutting them down for corruption. I've talked about how 18 years ago, in 2003, you had the New South Wales government in Australia, in Sydney. They were very upset because SARS was breaking out in Asia. People were looking at these Asians who were wearing masks going everywhere. And they said, well, you got multiple studies that show that even the N95 masks don't protect you. We know that. And if you're going to sell people these masks and make money off of it, we're going to come after you for fraud, said the New South Wales attorney. They reported it in the Sydney Herald in 2003 that you're going to get a $100,000 fine as a business if you're defrauding people by giving them a useless placebo, a mask, to protect them from SARS. Here we are, 18 years later. And the people who are selling the snake oil and making tens of billions of dollars, nobody gives them a second glance. And even when people take the snake oil and die, nobody gives them a second glance. As a matter of fact, they demand that you buy the snake, that you take the snake oil. They demand that you get the mask. You know, when we look at all this, we can say, again, you know, well, I want to ban all cars, I want to ban all guns so we don't do this. You know, my, as I said yesterday, my father died from chemotherapy. Should we ban chemotherapy? Do we understand there's different risks for these things? Do we understand the risks are sometimes more than they will tell you? Yeah. But because somebody died because of a drug or treatment, do we ban that? Well, certainly we don't for the vaccines, do we? So they said, as they go through and talk about this, they said, well, you know, she's one of nearly 600 fully vaccinated people, this double-vaxxed grandmother of six, at 66 years old. One of more than nearly 600 fully vaxxed people in Illinois to die of COVID this year, including 278 in September. It's going up. It's rapidly increasing. So over the whole year, they had 600, and you had half of those happen in the last month. And they said some of them had underlying health conditions, like this woman. She had maybe the underlying health conditions killed her. Maybe it wasn't the unvaccinated people who did it. But they're not mad at the pharmaceutical companies who gave them snake oil that didn't help and probably hurt her. So we see in Taiwan, the deaths from COVID vaccination exceed the number of deaths from COVID yet again. How many times do we have to see this in how many different places? How many times do we have to see that there is absolutely no protection? It doesn't make any difference in terms of transmission. How many times do we have to see that? And how many times do we have to see that there's more people who are dying from this? As a matter of fact, just throw this in. I know that people will say, you know, pick your poison. But it was kind of interesting in the context that this particular guy out of Australia did. One of these public health officials, listen to what he had to say.
The GPs and community pharmacies are also going really hard now. And, of course, the majority of our numbers are now going into those all-important second doses. But there is more vaccine available, whether it's Moderna, Pfizer or AstraZeneca. You know, choose your poison. But you can go to any GP, any pharmacy, and any of our state clinics to it.
We got multiple vaccines. So, you know, choose your poison. And I know he's just using a common colloquialism, but anyway, it does fit, doesn't it? You know, I mentioned this the other day. I didn't show you the chart. I want to show you this chart. This is about just the people who died from blood clots. Comparing the Trump shots, or if you want to call them, you know, the warped speed, skipping all testing shots. These Trump shots compared to all other vaccines, and take a look at this, right? Just from blood clots. The number of cases of blood clots that you had from the Trump shots, 12,500. All other vaccines, all 30 years plus combined, 487. In other words, the number of cases we had of blood clots, 25.8 times more than we did with all the other vaccines combined. Deaths, 33 times more, 32.7 times more deaths over 9 months than we did for all other vaccines combined over 30 years combined. Life-threatening issues. We had 23 times more life-threatening issues. 2,500 versus 110 for the Trump shots versus all other vaccines over 30 years combined. Permanent disabilities. That was 13 times higher. Remember, we're only 9 months into this. Only 9 months in. A lot of the permanent disabilities take longer to show up. Australians will get booster doses of the COVID vaccine as they're setting out a timeline because, you know, this is never going to end. They said there'll be a third shot given between 2 and 6 months after the second dose. So you get one, you get another one 30 days later, and then 2 months to 6 months after that, you get the third one. Is there ever an end of this? Well, they said a third dose is likely to be the last dose that you'll have to do in your life. How did they mean that? As a matter of fact, it may never end, and I don't think it will ever end. You have one individual who is talking about the masks, and if I can find it, here we go. One individual, this is the health director, Dr. Carrie Chant in Australia. Here's what she has to say about the masks.
And respond your level of restrictions, what you permit. It may be that we actually have indoor mask wearing for years. And this virus may throw us curveballs. There may be, you know, we've got the Delta variant. God help us if we have another.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got all kinds of prevarications happening. And we never know what's going to happen. You might have to mask for years indoors. Yeah, you probably will. And I'm telling you that the third shot will not be your last shot if you go down this path. One of these shots will be the last shot that you ever get if you keep going down this way. Goldman Sachs. Picking winners and losers in the battle for the $20 billion COVID antiviral market. And this is where Merck jumped into the sweepstakes for the big money. 10 days have passed since Merck dropped the bombshell announcement about Molnupiravir, I guess. It's revolutionary antiviral, and it is revolutionary. They're now bragging about the fact that they're going to directly modify your DNA. We said that's what they're doing with the mRNA. I believe that it is a modification of the DNA. A university that's not connected with the military-industrial complex, with the COVID-industrial complex, Thomas Jefferson University, did an experiment, and they said, well, you know, mRNA doesn't just copy DNA. It can modify DNA. And, of course, it can modify DNA by not copying it correctly. And so I believe that mRNA does modify DNA. But they were saying, no, it doesn't modify your DNA. But now they're coming out with drugs that do modify your DNA. And that's why a lot of scientists have said, well, we're worried about the long-term effects of this new Merck drug because it could cause cancer by modifying the DNA. But Goldman's not worried about that. They're only worried about money. As a matter of fact, if you remember, it was 5 years ago that I've reported on it multiple times, it was a Goldman Sachs press release to the pharmaceutical industry, and they used Gilead, the same people who developed remdesivir, and they said, they developed a cure, and we don't want you to develop cures, and here's why. And they'd cured some strain of hepatitis, and they said, look, they made $12 billion the first year, and then the next year it dropped dramatically. I don't know, maybe they made $4 billion or something, and now they're down to only making $1 billion a year out of this thing. We don't want to do that. We don't want you to cure diseases. We want you to come up with treatments for chronic illnesses, things that never go away. That's the business model that you should be striving for. Don't do what Gilead did when they cured this strain of hepatitis. That's how cynical these people are. And so this is an article from Zero Hedge. Goldman Sachs is reminding its clients that Merck is not the only one in the race to produce an effective antiviral that could function like Tamiflu for COVID. Well, you see, we've already got two people that have won the race, two different drugs, but they just can't make enough money off of it. And this really is what's behind it. It's the greed of people like Goldman Sachs and the bankers and Wall Street and the pharmaceutical companies themselves that serve those financial interests. Because we already do have, the race has been won by ivermectin and by hydroxychloroquine, those antivirals. They treat it, but they do not want to acknowledge the fact that they treat it. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. I've got some information about the climate update as well as what is happening in Washington, D.C. It has turned into, I've always called it, a black hole in terms of money, in terms of power. And it is now rapidly accelerating. And yet another reason why I believe we're going to see as we get sucked into this black hole of Washington and its deficit spending. I mean, we're starting to accelerate towards light speed with our hyperinflation. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation.
They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Looking for better information? APSRadioNews.com features articles and commentary, along with audio from all the top news from around the world. APSRadioNews.com.
All right. Let's talk about a little bit about climate bills and the climate issues, because it has a lot to do with the massive spending that is happening in Washington as part of this bill. And some people are pointing out the magnitude of what is being proposed in Biden and the Democrats' spending bills. But let's begin with this article from the Babylon Bee saying that Gavin Newsom takes a dip in the Pacific Ocean, causes a massive oil slick. Coast Guard has been called in this week to clean up a massive oil slick off the coast of California. According to witnesses, the spill was created by California Governor Gavin Newsom swimming in the water for a couple of minutes. He's got pretty greasy hair, right? This is an environmental disaster, said an EPA spokesperson. Our sources indicate at least 13% of the world's petroleum is used to make his hair gel. We should have known better than to let him jump in the water with all that in his hair. And, of course, it's in California where we've had the underwater pipeline, burst by an anchor of one of the many, many boats that can't offload the goods from China because of this messed up situation that we've got from Trump to Biden to Gavin Newsom. UN has tossed the climate claims brought by Greta Thunberg. Surprise, surprise. And I guess her reply was, how dare you? But what is interesting about this is that the UN organization that she took it to was the Child Rights Committee. And I've talked about the UNCRC, the Convention on the Rights of the Child. And pretty much every country on earth has signed on to that. It's the U.S. and one small third world country, last time I looked, had not signed on to it. But every other country has signed into this U.N. Convention on the Rights of the Child. And that's another thing that I've been working on for a very long time. The understanding, this narrative, this false narrative that children should have rights in order to destroy parental rights. The idea that children can divorce their parents, they can sue their parents, they can do whatever they want in conjunction with the schools. And this is not the law in the United States, but it is what is being done in these schools with both transgender issues, as well as there's been several attempts, even in Tennessee, where you had the state public health director said, well, we have mature minors and they can decide they want to get the vaccine whether their parents agree or not. So that is what this looks like. 10, 12 years ago when I was doing videos about it, I never imagined that it would be used for transgenderism. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know that was a thing. I never thought it would be used for genetic code injections either, to push that onto kids. But I knew that they would use it in nefarious ways, and it was clear that they were going to use it to break up the family and to deny parents having the ability to protect their kids from a predatory school and government in many different ways. And that's exactly what's happening. But what Greta Thunberg did, and the people who control her, I should say, what they did was they went to this Child Rights Committee at the UN, and they argued that countries that are violating what Greta thinks should be done, in her opinion, any policies that she disagrees with, are harming her future and the future of young people, and she believes, therefore, because she has rights as a child, according to the UN, she should be able to bring these charges at the UN as a child exercising her rights, and the UN should bring people to heel, nations to heel on this. That's where these people want to go. And I remember when I was talking to, when we moved to North Carolina, we did, Karen was originally from New York. I was originally from Florida. We got married. We moved to Texas and worked here for a while for Texas Instruments. When we went back to North Carolina, one of the things that I like to do, because I'm a history buff, is I like to go up to Virginia and see the sites that were there as part of the Revolutionary War. And sites over there, especially about the Civil War, because, you know, most of the Civil War was fought right there in and around Virginia. You know, there was a little bit of stuff that was fought outside in Tennessee and other places, but the resistance didn't last too long outside of the Army in Northern Virginia. And so there's a lot of battlefields there, Appomattox and all these other things. And so as we're going along and we're talking about history, and Karen grew up in New York, so she had a different version of history than I got from reading the actual sources from growing up in the South. And so I said, you know, here's the analogy. You have a situation. Imagine today, in today's world, and I said this to her 40 years ago. I said, you look at all this panic that is happening with the UN about stopping internal combustion engines and pollution. So imagine that you have the UN, which is a creature of sovereign nations, right? The U.S. and all these other countries created the United Nations, just like sovereign states, 13 colonies, created the federal government. And they gave it certain powers, just like they gave a few things to the United Nations, but not much. They didn't really have that much of an enforcement measure. And so the analogy is that you've got this political entity that's created by a lot of sovereign states, and they decide that they don't want anybody to have any internal combustion engines, and they're going to criminalize that, and they start accruing more and more power and money and getting bigger and bigger. And let's imagine that the United Nations with a, I don't know, you know, like a global tax like they're talking about right now. Let's say they get a carbon tax and they're able to tax everybody. We've had the first step towards that with this agreement on corporate tax rates. They're coordinating on tax policy now, these various nations. But let's just assume this all runs through the United Nations and we have a global carbon tax, which is what these organizations, Prince Charles and the Earth League and all the rest of these people want. So we have a global carbon tax, feeds into a United Nations, and they say, well, we've got to have a way to collect the taxes, and we've got to have a way to enforce these regulations, and so we now start getting a law enforcement branch of this or military or whatever. And then at some point they say, all right, you're going to give up all of these things in your life, which is the point that we are here today, 40 years later. And if you don't do it, we're going to attack you. And I said, so that's really, you know, what was happening. And that's really what we're starting to see right now, isn't it? And it is actually along the lines of the climate stuff, along the lines of the vaccines. And so she imagines, and that's the kind of government that she and these other children have been trained to believe in. You know, the United Nations is good. The United Nations is a force for peace. The United Nations is above the fray of these petty nationalistic rivalries. The United Nations has the best interest of all mankind at heart, and the United Nations should be dictating how we operate our lives and control and run our economies. And that's exactly what they believe. She said, emitting states are responsible for the negative impact of emissions originating in their territory on the rights of children. And so they must be stopped. And the UN said, this is not your time yet. That's coming. You hang on to that. But we're not there just yet. Not there just yet. So you've got a new law in the UK that is going to mandate that people who are charging their cars at home, they've done so much in the UK to penalize people who have internal combustion engines. They've said, we're going to even charge you more parking fees if you've got a diesel engine. We're going to charge you greater, not even burning it. You just park there. We want these things gone. And city after city throughout the throughout Europe and the UK, they're banning cars from going into the city. They call them ultra-low emission zones. You can't even go in there if you don't have an electric car. So they're pushing people. They're punishing people who don't have an electric car. They're giving subsidies to people who have an electric car. And guess what? They don't have enough electricity to charge the electric cars already. already the grid can't handle it. The UK is readying a new law that will mandate that you can only charge your cars during off-peak hours because they don't have a grid to support this. And not only that, they don't have a grid. It's not just the grid is losing capacity because they're destroying it on that end, and it's not even that they put a big burden of electric cars on the power grid. It's already going down, and this is why they're looking at over this winter. They're saying snow is to blanket the UK as a rare polar vortex collapse could spell trouble for the power grid. See, these are always things out of their control. It wasn't under their control that the wind stopped blowing. And it's not under their control there's going to be a coal snap. Well, no, there isn't. But what is under their control is the fact that they destroyed the cheap and reliable energy production for the grid that they had. And now they're at the mercy of the environment that they're trying to save. Now the wind stops blowing or the wind blows and you get cold weather. Now everything is shutting down. Because they did have cheap and reliable energy, but they shut that down. Just like they shut down cheap and reliable therapeutics for their so-called pandemic. So, getting to Washington, D.C., we are spending America into oblivion. And that is exactly what's happening. Congress is trying to push through another $3.5 trillion. And yet, we have nearly $30 trillion national debt. So let's just increase it by 10% in 1 year. Not a problem, right? Because, you know, it just comes out of thin air. You know, either you borrow the money, you tax people for it. And if you tax people for it, if you borrow the money, people are going to have to pay it back with taxes plus interest sometime in the future. Or you simply print the money. You just make it up. Just make a trillion-dollar coin, right? I've talked in the past about how just under Trump, what we did that last year with the $3.5 trillion that he added at the very with the first part of the bill, wound up doing about $6 trillion last year. But I said, if you look at that, how high of a stack of $1 bills, you know, would get you, the distance from the Earth to the moon would be about $3 trillion. And so they've gone from the Earth to the moon and back again, just under Trump, in terms of printing dollar bills. But of course, they don't print dollar bills. They just create credits in people's accounts, just out of thin air. That's how they create it. And there is a $150 trillion agenda behind the crusade against climate change. See, we're looking at what is happening, you know, $6 trillion last year with the pandemic and other things like that. This year, another $6 trillion. They call it an infrastructure bill, but most of it is about a radical social agenda and about climate change. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, for climate change, because that is going to be about $150 trillion. Is that an inflation of what this really is? Well, no. If you look at what all of these different Democrat candidates that were running in the 2020 election when we were in primary season and they were competing against each other, each one of them had a bigger spending bill than the other ones. And each of them had tens of trillions of dollars. Some of them, for their proposed bills, they were going to go up to $60 trillion. So it's not out of line to see that this is going to go up to $150 trillion in this crusade against climate change. And this is why these people are pushing the idea that you're going to not pay any attention to the deficit. The money that we are owed doesn't matter. This is why Janet Yellen is doing this. Look, it does matter. This is an effort to bankrupt us. And, you know, we have Kevin McCarthy, who, as he's running, and he's the minority leader, as he is running, he is getting, I think it is $60 million that he has been able to raise on his campaign. Why are we seeing so much money poured into politics? Well, it is, like I've said many times, it is like a black hole. When you have unlimited amounts of money to be handed out to people who they like, people who have bought influence with them, then that is why we are seeing an exponential increase in what these politicians are getting when they run for office, because a lot of that does go back into their pocket. I mean, it truly is a leap into hyperspace, a leap into a black hole. That's what we should be concerned about. not about whether or not William Shatner went to space. I mean, oldly going where no old person has gone before. I'm glad he had a good time, but that what you should be looking at are the astronomical debts and the black hole that has been created, sucking everything in our lives into it in Washington. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you for listening.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.